From the Toad Hop Network studios
in Hollywood,
this
is the ToadHopNetwork.com.
A place of our own without a lot of parents peering down our backs.
Radio worth watching.
And here we go.
Hello, Schmoville! Welcome to the Twilight Zone here. It is a Schmoes No Movies podcast. I am Christian Harloff.
And I'm TV's Mark Ellis.
How you doing, pal? How's yucks been?
Listen, I've been slamming jokes and doing... And I gotta tell you, Christian, I'm trying to pay attention here, but I'm looking over and I see a sexy Pennywise ahead of me, and it's hard to hold together, you know what I mean?
Okay, well, you're getting ahead of us now, Ellis. Let's talk to Tiffany. Now, Tiffany Smith, the lovely.
Guys,
the
it's
sweet.
Like we're playing the dating game, and you are as bad at impressions as I am.
Talented Tiffany Smith. You know, because, look, I got a wife now. I got a daughter. Right. I got responsibility. But Tiffany,
and I have carrots.
You're flying out all over the world. You just got back from Ireland, right?
I did. I got back from Belfast, which was amazing. I can't really say what I was doing. It's kind of top secret.
Why can't you say it's top secret? It's
Christian,
the
she obviously, listen, she doesn't want
to
talk about it.
From
you
the
know
girl.
What?
But you pressure people. Just let her do her thing. Sorry, Christian, you have to calm down,
okay.
Relax. Tiffany, please.
I like this Mark.
It is a Schmoes No Movies podcast. We have the whole crew minus some wild man nutcase that's out running amok on the streets of Los Angeles. We have Kenny Knapsack, our erstwhile producer. We have our two interns, Josh the intern, and new to the show, Cobster, coming back. He made the cut. He's back week two. And, of course, our writer and our editor-in-chief of the podcast, Mark Riley, Facty McFactors, and also joining us. Ellis, how was your week?
It was pretty good. Listen, Christian, I was talking to Cobster right before the show, and I got to tell you, there's something going on that we had a conversation, he and I, and do you think, now he's going to go on Hollywood Boulevard.
Yeah.
Cobster. He'll go on Hollywood Boulevard and talk to the young gentlemen and females down on the block there, and Ken Knapsack believes that he will get talked to by the cops.
Kenny is so stupid. Let me tell you something about Jerk Knapsack over there.
Stupid is such a harsh word. Why stupid?
I love you, this Mark. Idea, first of all. I am glad that I came up with this idea, okay?
To send build his head up just a little more.
Out onto the street. It's 3,000 miles away from good pizza, but it's right outside where you get all
you
the craziness of Hollywood. And I say send the intern out. Kenny, why can't we send our intern out to shoot stuff on Hollywood Boulevard?
LAPD's Hollywood Division is on a full TAC alert. They have shut down Hollywood Boulevard for parking. They've shut it down.
There's a lot of people on bikes.
Guy turns into Jack Bauer over here.
You will get
all of a sudden.
$1,000 fine for silly string. That's been posted down on the street.
No
right
way.
It's posted down there.
Ken knows what he's talking about.
The Wolfman doesn't have silly string. He's got a Camry. He wants
to
talk to freaks.
I'm saying, I'll bet you right now, within five interviews, he will be stopped and questioned by LAPD.
Hang on, Ellis.
Right.
Me, Christian Harloff, bets you $100. Christian Harloff's name. I have the Christian Harloff checkbook because I am Christian Harloff. I will bet you $100 from the Harloff bank account that is not going to happen.
Christian,
he is not going to get arrested.
Your wife is on the phone, and she says, do not make that bet.
Have you guys seen how hot my wife is recently?
She is attractive.
I'm so happy to get to sleep next to that woman every night.
Christian, who are you dating? Who are you dating back in the day? Apparently everyone wants to talk about who you're dating. It's so important.
We're going to have some hot blonde actresses on the phone later. Oh. And we have a very special guest coming in, too. We have Ellis, tell me about the guest we have.
We have a very special guest today. Kellen Coleman is not on the show tonight. That was a night where I was not in town. I was telling jokes in the Hucklebuck in New Jersey somewhere.
Oh, I remember playing that when I did stand-up.
That's right. What was that, in 1986? All right. So Jenna Sims, who is an actress, Christian, she's a very talented young
Yes,
who is going to be in the new movie Las Vegas with our buddies Morgan Freeman, Kevin Kline.
Ellis, we don't know them.
We do know them. We know them in heart and spirit. But anyway.
We got Jenna Sims coming in from Las Vegas at the top of or at the bottom of this hour, 8:30. And we have a lot of other fun Halloween surprises for you guys coming up in the Schmoes No Movies podcast. But right now, it is one of your favorite segments, Ellis. You love watching this on the road, and it's time for you to listen to in the studio. It's the news with Ken Knapsack.
Oh, I love it. Let me laugh the loudest out of everybody.
I'm Ken Knapsack, and these are your Schmoes No headlines brought to you by Magic Hat Brewing Company. Big news from the Hollywood Reporter. They're reporting that there is a grave disturbance in the Force, which is apparently some sort of reference to a sci-fi movie. The site says that the team behind Star Wars Episode 7 recently went to Disney and asked that the release of the film be pushed back to 2016.
No!
This was reportedly met with a resounding no by Disney Studio CEO Robert Iger because, and I'm not quoting here, we've already got the $75 t-shirts printed. The report also makes it seem that screenwriter Michael Arndt did in fact walk away from the project and that J.J. Abrams and Lawrence Kasdan are literally back to page one. Some insiders still dispute that, saying the move was a normal big-budget screenplay change and that there is no pressure or drama in Camp Lucasfilm. When reached for a comment, a Disney spokesperson backed that claim by saying, "Everything is proceeding exactly how Frozen Walt Disney has foreseen it, and there is no trouble here." But speaking of trouble, do you know that what happens when a bear gets his junk caught in a jar of honey? No, you soon will when Disney Nature's Bears hits theaters Earth Day 2014. And one of the more inventive rumors to emerge from the galaxy of Star Wars Episode 7 rumor-based headlines, the website Jedi News went public this week with a tale claiming that Harrison Ford, best known for not giving a crap if you like Star Wars or not, and Disney have reached an agreement for the actor to return to the role of Han Solo. The website claims a secret source says the deal is contingent on the development of a fifth Indiana Jones movie and that it'd be a multi-film deal, and that before agreeing to the deal, Ford had to see and approve the proposed character arc for Han Solo. But if you believe the Hollywood Reporter story, then that means someone was making it up as they went along when pitching Ford. Also, the Vegas odds that the Jedi news source is actually a pudgety city bus driver named Harold that goes home at night in a Jedi cloak and challenges his cat to a lightsaber duel are 2-1. 2-1 odds. The Avengers Age of Ultron cast just got bigger with the long-anticipated announcement that Aaron Taylor-Johnson has been officially tabbed to play Quicksilver alongside Elizabeth Olsen as his twin sister Scarlet Witch, both being the offspring of a little X-Men villain named Magneto. This, of course, blurs the lines of comic book canon and Hollywood studio licensing rights, as Marvel owns the children and Fox has Daddy, which explains why the upcoming X-Men Days of Future Past will introduce Magneto's new son, Magnet Face Mike. Taylor Johnson is best known these days as the kid behind the kick-ass mask, but I'm going to make sure he's known for this other fact. Taylor Johnson is married to 50 Shades of Grey director Sam Taylor Johnson. He's 23, she's 46. Or as Hugh Hefner says, you're doing it wrong. And a story apparently broken open by Twitter, which you thought was just a platform to retweet porn star selfies, the Army of Darkness 2 movie has a new director, Sam Raimi. The director looks to be returning to the franchise that launched his career and helped get Bruce Campbell on Burn Notice, USA, characters welcome. The movie is said to not only continue the story from the first Army of Darkness, but will also cross over into the world established by the recent Evil Dead reboot, which may also have a sequel. If all that sounds confusing, just think of this. Your mom is still scared of Twitter and stopped listening to the story after the first sentence. The Point Break remake is finally moving forward. The project received a director back in April when Invincible director Erickson Kaur got the gig. Now, in another SchmoesKnow.com exclusive, it is said that the project is eyeing Chris Pine or Eric Bana to play the role of Johnny Utah. It should also be noted that according to previous stories, the movie would not revolve around the world of surfing, but instead will find plucky FBI agent Johnny Utah infiltrating the world of international extreme sports, or as your girlfriend calls it, having sex with the lights on. If this is true, calling the movie Point Break is a little misleading, kind of like asking a friend over to barbecue hamburgers and then handing him a glass of Ensure when he arrived. When reached for a comment, Keanu Reeves asked me to get off the park bench so he can be depressed in peace. After much wrangling over contracts and points on the back end, it appears the Entourage movie is a go. Director Doug Ellen tweeted Monday, "It's a go. Love you all." It will start shooting in January 2014. For those not familiar with the popular HBO series, first, you probably didn't turn 30 in 2004. Second, the show is about four douchebags you'd probably pay good money to see beaten in the alley behind the Viper Room. Finally, Millennium Films has announced that Gerard Butler, Morgan Freeman, and Aaron Eckhart will all be back for the sequel to Olympus Has Fallen, titled London Has Fallen. It will take place in London, which at one point will fall. In a related story, if you're under 25 years of age and really hope that your gritty art house drama screenplay, quote, gets into the right hands, stop what you're doing right now and stay in Omaha. Hollywood doesn't want you. I'm Ken Napsok, and those are your Schmoes No Headlines, brought to you by Magic Hat Brewing Company. Nice.
Wow. Well, Mark, we're back. You and I are back. And before we get into the news, Kenny, it was amazing. Great costume, by the
great
way.
Great job, Kenny. The news was fantastic, as always. I only have like six or seven notes for you. Other than that, it was just a spot-on performance.
It was great. But I actually want to get back real quick. So the real argument between Ken and I was the fact that if we sent Cobster right now down on Hollywood Boulevard with the flip cam
and the wolf mask.
He can use the wolf mask.
I think the wolf mask helps your odds of not getting arrested.
That's what I said as well. But we're going to go. He's going to go and talk to four or five people. Five people was the agreement. He'll go and talk to five people on the street and ask them about what their costume is, what their favorite movies are this year. And Ken thinks that he's going to get stopped by the cops. I say no. We'll call it a dinner, Ken. How about that? Like something simple, like a Baja Fresh or something.
Right out of your mouth. You said
$100.
We can do dinner.
When the Schmuck podcast came on, he said, I bet you $100.
I'll even say, I'll tell you what, it's a dinner at Wood Ranch.
Fine.
All right.
Don't make me out to be an asshole. I said $100 and you said, I don't want to do that right now. You said,
I did say it. I couldn't. Right. You guys were
Wood Ranch dinner in some households is $100.
You could make it $100.
But we'll both enjoy the $100.
The good news is either way, cops are coming back with Coors Light. That's the bottom line.
So
just tell them the camera's part of your costume.
What do you think? You need about half an hour? All right. So cops are going to go half an hour, 40 minutes. Go and do your thing. So he's going to talk to five people, and don't do it right in front of the cops, obviously. So
get arrested.
Interview
don't
the cops. Arrested. Have some balls.
You should if you do five by the six, interview the cops. All right, here we go. All right, so let's talk about these news stories, and you guys also tweet at Schmoes. No, will Copster be stopped by the cops? All right, here we go. Let's talk about the first story we have to talk about is Star Wars.
You got
to
get Star Wars off you got to get that taste out of my mouth. We need to talk about this. This needs to be a little bit of a therapy session because if it really gets pushed back 2016, if they wanted it to be pushed back, does that mean that they're panicking, that they don't have a good enough story yet, that they're not ready to go? And then on the Disney side of it, why are they being such assholes? Because, no, it needs to be Christmas 2015. That's like the worst way to start making a movie. Right?
Yeah. Now that's the thing. That's what we talked about last week when the news was that J.J. Abrams was taking over the script. Everyone was like, oh, no, they're just going to hand it over to him. And the question was it because they weren't happy with it? Arndt wasn't happy with it. They left. There's turmoil, obviously, going on. So Disney doesn't want to piss off any fans any more than they already have by not giving them anything. So they're like, no, 2015 is happening. Tiffany, you were excited at first when, you know, they said, oh, they're going to push it back to 2016. You went, no. And then thinking about it.
I know. Well, because here's the thing. I wish they wouldn't try and bait us and put a year out if they don't know that they're going to be ready for it. Like, I would have rather been waiting a little bit longer till they put out a release date, until they knew they had a good script. Because I know when the announcement originally came out, all of us were like, that seems really fast.
Right.
Yeah, but that cat is unfortunately out of the bag now because they already gave us an initial date. And even though they pushed it back from that, they can push it back all they want. But if they say that the Star Wars project now no longer has a date, then the world literally stops spinning and
wait than get something crappy.
Absolutely. Yeah, I agree. This doesn't this feel like a man and a woman in a relationship talking about having their first kid, and one is like, no, we got to have it right now. The biological clock is ticking, and the guy's like, I'm not ready for that responsibility.
Yeah.
And usually when they have a kid and they meet somewhere in the middle with compromise, that kid ends up being adult.
Well, I don't know. We're going to find out. I mean, again, J.J. Abrams is a professional. He'll get it done, obviously. But I mean, when Kathleen Kennedy is looking for a pushback date, that's what scares me. All right. Now, moving on also Star Wars related, Harrison Ford with the deal that basically he is going to be in Star Wars if they give him another Indiana Jones film, you know, and whether
does he want to make up for the last one that was horrendous?
That's my point. So, Tiffany, what's your thoughts on it in general?
After the last one, I kind of just want to stick with what we've got. But if they're going to come back and it's going to be amazing, if we got like the whole Sean Connery,
that type of vibe,
I would be so excited. It was my favorite. But what they did the last time, the jumping on the monkeys through the jungle,
I think Harrison Ford is kind of starting to get a little Stallone wisdom in his later years. So I think Stallone realized that he was making too many solo action movies and they weren't that good. And I think Harrison Ford maybe realized that I started to go down that path. And like, if you see him in Ender's Game, he's back to like to trying. And he was when he was Branch Rickey in the Jackie Robinson story. So I think Harrison Ford is now looking at his career as a whole and being like, man, I want to hit a couple walk-off home runs before I leave this acting thing altogether. And so I think he wants to make a great Indiana Jones. The only thing that bothers me a little bit is that it sounds like he likes the character of Indiana Jones more than Han Solo. Like, if in his head, he would rather play Indiana Jones one more time than Han Solo.
No, but the thing was, I agree with you that he likes Indiana Jones very much. He likes Indy very much. And I think that's why, going off what Tiffany said, that he wants to do another one to redeem him. Yeah. But I do think what they did, they gave him the storyline and the arc of
Han Solo. Han Solo is the character.
They gave him that arc, and he was happy with it.
Yeah.
So that's good. And that
But was that the character arc or is that Michael Arndt's character arc? Who came up with that character?
George Lucas came up with the outline.
That was
of
Lucas.
What's going on? He got the outline before it was even sold.
But are we changing that story now that we're pushing it back to 2016?
No, look, everyone said don't let Lucas write the story. Don't let him write the script.
I need a hot bath. This is really really painful.
Now something else that's really really painful is the fact a new story that we broke was the Point Break thing. Like why we need to remake it? You're not going to get Gary Busey in there going, "I want two meatballs, Utah, two."
You're
not going to get that in there. And why? I don't understand why you have to remake it. And the fact that now, and the thing that gets me though is not the fact that they're remaking it though. The casting is between Chris Pine or Eric Bana. I mean, told me that Eric Bana was up for Bodhi, I'd be like, okay, that makes sense. But that's such a weird age difference.
Yeah, it's a weird age difference. I mean, clearly they're ruining Point Break because they're looking for somebody to play Johnny Utah that can act. And that's not going to be any fun to watch. That's not going to get viewers
Stop
on cable
it.
Repeatedly. But, you know, like nobody loves Point Break more than the guy talking right now. And I don't know. I don't really want to see another Point Break. I don't want to see a Point Break reimagining. I'd much rather see a sequel with Keanu Reeves in it than I would it, you know, being retold.
I immediately think of them casting Chris Pine and then, like, having shaggy hair, and he just looks weird in my imagination with like beach guy hair.
Yeah,
I mean, that's just me. I mean, he's really hot, but
yeah, it just depends.
Those blue eyes, man. Got those surfer blue eyes, those beach boy eyes.
And our Walter White, Johnny Ice, was
look at that costume, by the way.
He was jumping up and down like us when we heard that Disney bought Star Wars and there was gonna be a new Star Wars movie. When Ken mentioned the Entourage movie, he was very excited about the Entourage movie. Johnny,
love Entourage.
I know you almost smashed yourself in the mic, in the mouth of that mic. You know, what?
Great, I love everything
Johnny,
about it.
Why do you see
yourself more as a turtle or a of Entourage? Like, who would your character be? When you watch Entourage, who are you like, oh, that's me?
Who do you relate to?
MySpace had a contest one year for this. Yeah, a long time ago.
I thought you said MySpace, like you had a contest in your apartment.
Yeah, part of that weird refrigerator.
I was E.
Okay, I can see that. I can see you as an E. Okay.
He's versatile with the costumes.
Now, Johnny, don't get upset. I don't give a shit about this movie. I was a fan of the show. I was a big fan of the show. My thing, if you make a movie out of this, for me, I feel, first of all, I think the time has come and gone. Mm-hmm. And I think that the fact that you're making a movie now, it's ultimately a two-hour episode.
Yep.
That the last episode to me was disappointing. The last season was disappointing. All it's going to be is Jeremy Piven telling a bunch of great jokes, which is why you're going to go to see the movie. But you don't care anymore. And Adrian Grenier or whatever his name, he just never was a great Vince. He just never was. Everyone else was the best.
I liked the first four episodes of every season of Entourage. And then I got so bored halfway through every season of that show because just nothing ever happened. It just didn't interest me at all once we got past the fact that it's fun watching these four guys walk around or five guys or whatever it is. So I don't know what the movie's going to be. The other thing about the show is that can the movie be a little more topical than movies usually are? Because that was a big part of the show, too.
Yeah.
Isn't sometimes reflected what was actually going on in Hollywood. So
it's hard because they would be filming so far out.
Ari's got to be the star of the movie. You can't do a 2-hour movie on Vince because the ironic thing is the guy's just does not have a movie star.
What has that guy done since Entourage? Johnny, you're a big
Sesame
fan.
Street. I saw him on Sesame Street the other day when I was.
He does a lot
dog.
Of like environmental documentary kind of.
The environmental documentary. Route,
I'm a hipster, smarty pants dude. Right.
Yeah, he looks like he could use some protein.
Yeah. All right. So there's one other story in there that was
The Big Age of Ultron casting finally confirmed with Aaron Taylor Johnson.
Mm-hmm. Yeah,
that's been coming for a while.
That's been rumored
also
for a bit.
The Sam Raimi returning to Army of Darkness.
Yeah, I mean that'll
that's
be fun.
Cool.
That'll
He's
be
so
fun.
Serious right now. That's so serious.
I'm calling my police friends
and having him arrest Cobster.
Yeah.
Yeah, really good.
Somebody wants his ribs at Wood Ranch.
Ken's actually dressed as Will Forte tonight. now the
Johnny Ice really liked that one.
You liked that one
at Comic Con. Harloff would introduce Ken Knapsack to random people at Subway as Will Forte, and they believed it. They were a little drunk at the time, but Christian had Will Forte, Ken Knapsack, sign this kid's Subway napkin as Will Forte, and then Christian started yelling at Will Forte, like, "Oh, you're too big of a star to sign this kid's Subway napkin."
So mean.
Yeah, I was busy in an ATM booth at the time.
Yep.
Always money in the ATM.
That's right. Now, the other thing before, because we're going to have a very special caller in a second, too, because I want to talk about some stuff that was going on with the new movie that we just saw, and our review just came out, Ender's Game. We'll get to that in a second. Before we do, we had a tweet. Tiffany, the fans would like to know just what the hell you're dressed as, is what the
I can tell them what she's dressed as.
A sexy clown.
She's not a sexy clown.
You don't think she's sexy?
She's playing female Charlie Chaplin.
Oh.
I mean, that's close.
Who are you?
It's called a Perot.
God bless you.
Oh, the sad clown?
Did I? Because I just told you that out there.
I thought you were a queen from Naboo.
I mean, that works too.
No, but Tiffany was—you were surprised that you were surprised that we all thought you looked sexy when you walked in.
Yeah,
why?
I was because I feel like I'm wearing like a giant collar and like a non-fitted dress.
Now this is you're being silly.
Like
here.
I'm wearing like a smock.
No. Your legs are showing in a nice
in
way.
Tights.
You look sexy. You have that thing going on. I think that you know.
I have a completely painted face. No, here's the thing.
Come on, you're going to tell me that you're going to walk by a bunch of guys, especially our audience too. They get that you're the cute girl, you're the sexy one all the time, and you walked in a short dress and you're going to not think that it's sexy.
Whoa, easy, Ellis. Easy, Ellis.
I feel like there are things that girls, like, I'm like, normally you wear a bat, like, my dress is not tight. It's just like smock. In my mind, it doesn't
register. You know what we'll do? We'll take a picture. We'll post it on Schmoville and see if you look just like a sad clown or a sexy clown. How about that? That'll work.
You can be sexy and sad at the same time. It happens to women out here all the time. They come out here sexy. They believe in their dreams. They die. Then they become sad.
No. But I'm wondering, what do guys, when you look at costumes, I feel like there's so many girls who do a sexy costume in a bag.
Well, honestly.
Which I hate. Yeah, I put this together myself.
Well, you know what else? Also, it's the bad girl. You got a bad girl thing going on tonight, too. Yeah, so there's
also something to be said for the understatedness of your sexiness in this costume. You're not exposing things with like
I'm
a
blushing, but good thing my face is painted.
Your white face.
And you don't realize that, which is one of your endearing traits and also one of your problems.
I know who Ken is now. Ken is playing the guy who hits on chicks at airport bars when they miss their
flight. By the way, have you ever been to a Chili's too?
All right, we'll move on. This is a movie's podcast.
Kenny Knapsack.
All right, so big movie release. A lot of movie releases coming out this week, but one of the big ones, big sci-fi movie, Ender's Game, based on a very popular novel. Now, Harrison Ford, we were just talking about, is in the movie, as well as Asa Butterfield and
Haley Steinfeld, Viola Davis, Ben Kingsley.
I like that everyone forgets Ben Kingsley's in it because it's weird.
Well, he's hardly even in it. I mean, he's in it for like the last like half an hour.
But he's in the trailer all tatted up.
Now, we're going to bring on a good buddy of ours and a fellow critic on movies.com, Dave White, who's also been on this show as well. And we want to talk to him not only about his reaction on what he thought of the film, but there is a lot of controversy with this particular movie. And the author of the book, Orson Scott Card.
I already hate him.
Just because his name is Orson.
Yeah.
Well, here's the thing with this guy.
Orson Scott Card.
He's a douche. And here's why he's a douche. When he wrote the book, man, this is information that I actually had a long conversation with David. Let me introduce him now first. Dave White, our good buddy. Are you on the phone, my friend?
Yeah.
Dave, what's up, buddy? How are you?
Hi.
I'm dressed as sexy Ellis tonight.
You and me both. There's me both.
How does that happen?
It's not that hard to dress as sexy Ellis. Dave, describe to us what you're wearing exactly to be sexy me.
One of those dumpy sweatshirts that you always have on. A baseball cap, and I'm carrying a slice of pizza for Christian.
Perfect. Sounds like me. You got him nailed. Dave, all right, so we're talking about this movie. Now, you and I had a long conversation about it right before we saw the movie, and let's kind of get into the controversy first of all about this guy and kind of what he was saying that really got the gay community up in arms, and yourself being a gay man and watching and hearing about all this stuff. Like, what is it that has gotten the gay community up in arms?
Well, you know, we don't like it when people say that we should be, you know, killed and stuff. So
I like how he slowly went into that one.
So, and I should say, Orson Scott Card has never advocated for the murder of gays, but he would not like them to be on the planet with him. He would prefer that we be somewhere else. Or hide away. I don't actually know what he wants, but he's not with us on any level. He does not care for my people. And, I mean, if you know me, I'm adorable, so I really don't see why.
You are. If there's one man on Earth that could turn me, Dave, it's you. It's sexy
Mr.
Ellis.
White.
So,
I've always known this.
Well, sorry. So the movie then, the thing that I brought up to you yesterday was that the fact there's a lot of talk about boycotting of the film, and because of his beliefs and the things that he said. Now what I also heard that I didn't know last night when we had spoken was that he actually was paid up front for this movie and doesn't see a dime off of any of the box office. So that doesn't really hurt him to boycott it. So is that fair to the other, you know, the studio or the actors involved?
Well, here's my position on this, and I'm only speaking for myself. As much as I should be the spokesperson for all of the gays in the world, they have not elected me to that position yet. So I believe that to boycott a movie is sort of ineffectual. You don't make anybody suffer at all. All the people who worked on the movie, they've already been paid. And they're not going to get any back-end deals out of the contracts or anything like that. Now, as a producer, Orson Scott Card may have also signed a situation where he doesn't get any, you know, residual payments out of this after the fact. But this film's success will help him. It will help him sell more books.
Right.
It will help him get more projects made. So ultimately, yes, the man is going to make some money off of this.
Right.
But I don't really believe that's the point. I think that as a show of solidarity, lots of gay people are, yes, boycotting this movie. They are not going. I see it all over Facebook. I see it all over other social media. They are, you know, rallying the troops. Don't go see this film. And that's fine. It's the same thing that happened with Chick-fil-A. Chick-fil-A is not going to get hurt by a gay boycott, and this game is not going to get hurt by a gay boycott. But what it does do is it forces the conversation to keep happening.
Right.
And the conversation needs to keep happening because it's not just that Orson Scott Card has beliefs. He takes action on his beliefs.
Right.
He gives lots and lots and lots of money and time to really vicious, ugly, hateful, anti-gay groups that want to do things, you know, to legislate against gay people's lives.
Right.
They want to control the lives of gay people, and that's wrong.
Right.
If you have a problem with gay people and you're trying to do something to make their lives difficult, we are not the ones with the morality issue.
Right.
You are.
All right. Well, then,
and so,
well, with that strong, well, let me, that being said, Dave, the yeah. fact that you, so you obviously, and duly noted, of course, why you are so passionate about what this guy is saying, is dopey shit that he says.
Yeah.
Now,
yeah.
What did you now think? Like, how do you separate with going into that, knowing how passionate you're about that and the fact that what this guy said, how do you go in watching the movie as a movie and not worrying about this? How do you watch it? And without giving us your full review, obviously, because I don't know if it's come out yet, but you want to, can you give us some thoughts on what you thought of the film and how you separated the passion going into it?
Well, I have no emotions. So that helps with me. But the thing about my job is that my job is to watch films just like you. I mean, it's your job too. And my job is to tell people, evaluate this film, write about this film, and explain where it fits into the world, where it fits into the culture. And so I'm really good at separating out any personal feelings I have going in about pretty much anything.
Right.
And I know that this film has literally nothing to do with what Orson Scott Card believes on this subject now.
Dave, that's what I wanted to ask you really quick, too. Is like, when you yeah. watch the movie, there's nothing, like, hidden in there that, like, just, like, a dopey straight guy like me isn't going to see? Like, the aliens aren't, like, a no. metaphor for gay people?
Nope.
Okay.
Nope. Here's right. the thing.
Nope.
This movie is about, you know, finding the humanity in your enemy and the paradoxes of war. So what you get is a film where the message is absolutely antithetical to everything its creator now believes.
Right.
And that's hilarious.
Well, did you like the movie?
It's terrific. It's a great movie.
Yeah.
I had a really great time. I think it's really well made. It's thoughtful. It looks beautiful. It's exciting. It's meaningful in ways that films like this usually fail to be meaningful.
Yeah.
And that I just ended a sentence with a preposition, so I suck. But the thing about it is that this movie is actually better than Orson Scott Card.
Right, and you know, and I think, and I think that's
think
a
that's great.
I think that's a credit to Gavin Hood as well, because I think he did a fantastic job on the movie. But Dave.
Dave lost all his credibility with me when he ended that sentence with a preposition. It's like, you're calling a professional podcast here.
Yeah, that's true. Dave, I have to thank you so much for calling in to talk about this. But one of our fans has a request, and you can choose to either do this or not. They think you sound like Randy Macho Man Savage and would love to hear you say snap into a Slim Jim. Not going
to
happen.
Snap into a Slim Jim.
It's like the softer side the softer of Randy Macho Man Savage.
Dave, thank you so much. We look forward to talking some more shit at the next screening, and we can make fun of Ellis's attire.
And come back in studio soon, will you, buddy?
I will do that, yeah.
All right, Dave. Dave White, follow him at Dave White. Thank you so much, sir, and we'll talk to you soon.
All right, bye.
All right. Dave's great. Okay, guys, so... Very heated first half hour. I like it. We got
Happy Halloween.
Happy Halloween.
Happy
well, that's
Halloween.
The thing. Big Halloween. We're going to talk all of our scary movies at 9 to 10. We got Jenna Sims coming in just in a second here to talk about Las Vegas. A lot of fun, guys. Stay tuned.
Nothing wrong with me. One, something's got to give. Two, something's got to give. Three, something's got to give. Now, let the bodies hit the floor. Let the bodies hit the floor. Let the bodies hit the floor.
You're listening to the Toad Hop Network, radio worth watching.
What's up, Toadheads? Hey, make sure you check out the Toad Hop store on ToadHopNetwork.com. It's a great way to support the network and helps continue to bring you quality programming.
Quality programming, my ass.
Can you see I'm recording you, a-hole?
So maybe you've got a great idea for a business and want to start selling your products or services online. Maybe you're an established business owner looking for new customers. Or maybe you're interested in starting a personal website. No matter who you are, GoDaddy wants to help you kick ass online. Right now, GoDaddy's offering .com domains for just $1.99. It's go time. Start your website today. Visit GoDaddy.com and enter promo code TOAD to get your $1.99.com or click on the GoDaddy graphic on the Toad Hop website. Some limitations apply. See website for details.
To leave your house to shop, to crawl through traffic to the mall.
Just to find the thing you wanted.
Isn't even there at all.
Amazon.com is the answer.
Shop at home in style and ease.
Find exactly what you want.
Ordering your stuff's a breeze.
Books on tape.
Games galore.
Everything you're looking for.
Kindle. Cameras. Electronics.
Baby Einstein.
Hooked on phonics.
Blu-ray.
Movies.
And TV.
Download.
Music.
MP3.
Pixar.
Disney. Microphone.
Pet supplies and doggy bones.
World of Warcraft.
Nancy Drew.
Sims.
The Scruff System too.
Click Amazon.
You'll smile with glee.
Sometimes shipping's even free.
What's up, everyone? Sports Guru here. Sick of looking at the same old boring websites? Well, check out thenewsportsguru.com for all the hottest trending videos and all the biggest sports news. Become a VIP for only $4.99 and get premium access to everything the Sports Guru has to offer. The beautiful gurus, girls, all my biggest sports picks, and much more. So get off that porn site and check out thenewsportsguru.com.
Is that hunk of junk you call a car always breaking down and leaving you in the dust? Log on to Dyson-Motors.com and check out Dyson's full inventory online. With hundreds of quality cars in stock of all makes and models, you can find the next car of your dreams in minutes. And know you're getting super low pricing. Purchase a car today from Dyson Motors and receive a year of free oil changes. Bad credit? Worried about financing? Log on and get pre-approved in seconds. Go to Dyson-Motors.com and find your new car today.
With Gamefly, choose from over 6,000 titles. Play as long as you want and send them back when you're done. $8.95 to start. No late fees. Gamefly.com. Games delivered.
You're listening to the Toad Hop Network. Radio worth watching.
Christian.
You're missing your thing.
But you guys didn't say hi.
Are we,
Yeah, we're live. This is a show
that's,
where we
that's how
live.
You work game, guys.
Hey, oh, yeah. Jenna, how are you? I'm Mark.
This guy's
Christian.
Busting my balls. But put on two of your bells. Don't tell me when you're going to put it on. Put on two of your bells. And you do, and you talk right over.
It's, oh my God.
Look at that.
Just, how creepy is this sound?
It's really
You guys
creepy.
Were nicer when you were playing each other.
Each other.
You know what's really cool is, I put the picture on Instagram. When I was in D.C. a couple weeks ago, doing jokes, fixing the government, I took a picture at the steps, the Exorcist steps.
Oh, cool.
In Georgetown. It was kind of raining that day, so it was kind of hazy.
Yeah.
And it is so effing creepy. There was an old guy running up and down the stairs for, like, exercise. And so I actually had him stop, and I was like, sir, You're going to hate me. Can you decide your workout and take
really
a picture
need a good
of me
photo.
Sitting
I really
here.
Need this.
That's great. Well, I didn't see that. Anyway, guys, it's a Schmoes No Movie Show. We are here. It's our Halloween show, and we are going to be hitting all the horror movies from the 9 to 10 hour, but that is not why we are here right now. We are very excited to be joined in studio, joining us on Halloween, which is very nice of her. Actress Jenna Sims is here. Jenna, how are you?
I don't know which camera to look at. I'm looking at that one, right?
That's a good one. Yeah, that's a good one. How are you?
I'm well. Thank you. Happy good. Halloween.
You too. And again, Jenna is here. She has a movie that we've already seen that comes out this Friday, and that would be one, Last Vegas.
Last Vegas. Jenna stars alongside four acting legends, Michael Douglas, Kevin Kline, Morgan Freeman, Robert De Niro.
So crazy.
Before we get into Las Vegas and all the other things you have going on with your career right now, because you're a busy gal, is this a full-on costume, or do you just have some cat ears just for
this
chits and giggles?
Not totally what I'm wearing tonight. I'm wearing part of it, actually.
We got gypped.
Okay.
I'm wearing the cat ears just to be cute. I've worn them all day today.
They suit you.
Yeah, I'm going as a Carl's Jr. girl. I'm going to wear just the bikini, and I have a cheeseburger, and I'm going to go to Carl's Jr. after this.
Oh, that's awesome. Now,
I have the gold top on right now.
You should have you should have lied to us and said you were going and dressed as like a, I don't know, like a bull or something. We're like, oh, okay, Nellie, that's okay. We didn't need to see that.
That's bikini! Where I'm like, I get it that you guys are like, oh, she's going to look really sexy. They are like, your costume looks sexy, Tiffany. I'm like, but I'm wearing a smock and a giant bib around my neck, basically.
Well, I mean, compared to Miss Carl's Jr.,
the
clown, you're not winning a beauty pageant next to her. But I'm saying, and all I'm saying, Jenna, I'm making
Ellis,
the clown sad. She's playing a sad clown.
This is why Ellis will be divorced within seconds.
I'm making her depressed. That's
you're
all I'm
saying.
Doing.
I'm sad, aren't you?
All I'm doing is I'm just extending the offer to Jenna if she needs a staging area to get ready for her Carl's Jr.
You always want Princess Leia, Slave Leia, don't you?
We both did request Slave Leia. Yeah. Now, are you going to where's the party being held?
That's a good question. I'm actually meeting some of my friends at their house, and then we're going to go play it by ear from there.
There's
a house party up in Hollywood Hills, or we're going to go to like one of the clubs around here.
Cool. Just text me the address then. Okay. Cool. This will be a fun after party.
Now, what also is fun?
Don't
let's
shut up, clown.
Yeah.
Don't ruin this for me.
Quiet, clown.
You think you're sad now?
Yeah, well, you already made her sad with your comments. Now, let's talk to Jenna about this movie, The Tubies. This is a big gig that she landed here. Now,
exciting.
First of all, take me through the process of when you first hear about the audition and then find out who's going to be in it, and then the moment where you went, holy shit.
Okay, I had all of those things happen.
Right.
I booked this film because I'm a local hire for Georgia. I'm from Atlanta. And my agent sent me the audition for a different part, actually. And I ended up not getting it. It went to someone older than me, and it was a bigger part, which... it's totally fine because I like to see like who got it. I'm like, oh, it's like not even the same.
Yeah. The Mary Steen version?
What?
Was it the Mary Steen version part?
Oh my God, no, not that old.
Not that much older, yeah.
Well, you never know. Maybe they switched the role.
The bottom line is they booked somebody older and they're going to die well before Janet does. Continue.
I love everyone's not that much older. She's not the emperor.
It was like the Bachelor of the Bridesmaid, the one who hooks up with Kevin Kline.
Oh, right, at the end. Right, okay.
Right there. But yeah, so I went in and I read for it. I actually put myself on tape. And I didn't get it. And then I got an email from my agent in Atlanta. They said, John Turteltaub wants you to fly to Atlanta for a callback. And I'm like, callback for what?
Wow.
And so I met with John. It was like right before we were going to film. I flew to Atlanta, literally. I live in L.A., so I flew to Atlanta the very next day.
Right.
On my Delta Sky Miles. And I read for the part of Abby. And I didn't hear her, so I flew back to L.A. And then like a week later... I got an email. The first job I had ever booked that my agent didn't call me and say, hey, you got it. You know, it's usually that big moment where they're like jumping up and down screaming.
Yeah.
I got an email. They're like, so-and-so
from
casting
your agent?
Director wants to offer you the role of Abby in Las Vegas. And I'm like, what? Like, usually there's a big explosion on the phone, but it was like...
there's like confetti coming down from the ceiling.
Huh? And then I like call my mom. And we're like, oh, my God!
Right.
But I already knew, like, right when I initially got the audition, I just go on IMDb, and they already had the four main cast members. So
I knew.
You knew who was in
it,
right?
Okay.
Yeah.
So, and then your first day of filming, then, who's your first scene with? I mean, when you first get there, like, who's it with? And when do you first go, oh, my God, that's Robert De Niro.
Oh, my God,
that's Morgan Freeman.
I didn't, honestly, when I saw Morgan Freeman, I was like, oh, my gosh.
That's the guy from the Pet Boys.
He said the exact same thing when he saw you.
Thank you. I can't remember exactly the first day. I worked for 3.5 weeks on that in Atlanta, right around Christmas time. It was almost a year ago. My first scene, I mean, we did that this dancing scene that actually made the final cut, where Morgan Freeman comes up to Jerry Ferrara and is like, tell her she's, you know, beautiful, not sexy. We shot so much other stuff, like a big makeout scene. We shot so much stuff that didn't make the final cut, as you probably saw.
I'm sure Ferrara was so upset.
I'm sure he was a good friend of mine. Yeah. We actually hung out, like, outside of work and everything, but I think I was the most starstruck. My fake tan is coming off on your table.
It happens here all the time.
Not our
table.
Because
happens
I had to be like really bronze for my Carl's thing.
you went all out for this costume. Yeah. Right. Wow.
I didn't have time to spray tan, so I put like gold, like.
This is fake. Somebody should write this down. This is the first time in recorded history somebody got a spray tan to go to a burger joint.
And the first time on our show, someone left it on the table before they left.
You're welcome. I was really starstruck when I saw 50 Cent.
Oh, really?
Because I prepared myself for Morgan Freeman.
Right, because that's who was in it, right.
And then in walks 50 with his entourage, and he has such, like, an aura about him. We were just, like shows. You could have heard a pin drop. It was silent.
Right.
Nothing.
In a room full of 300 people, he walks in, and we're like, oh, my God. Well, that's Curtis.
I don't know if it's the aura or everyone's kind of scared a little bit.
Maybe both. But what I liked about
bullets
him,
aren't scared of that aura. 9 of them got through that aura one point.
What I liked about him, though, in the movie, though, too, is he played off his image a little bit in the movie, which everyone had fun, including 50 for this movie. So I thought that was great. Now, I do have a question because we were just actually talking about the Entourage movie before you walked in. And Johnny Ice is very excited for it. All right, Walter White over there. Walter, do you have any thoughts on the Entourage movie?
I love it.
Oh, great. Great impression. Thank you so much.
Was that his movie critic, Dave White?
Right before he goes, let me do the impression. I set him up for the impression. He screams in like he just got stabbed in the gut.
He was giving you your in to do the impression.
Oh, no. I got it.
Good read. my question about Jerry Ferrara as well too is I had met him when I worked at Warner Brothers. Super nice guy as well. Now does he have that turtle thing about him, like when you meet him?
No, he's such a softie. He's so sweet.
But so was Turtle. Turtle was a sweet character.
Oh, I thought okay. So in the film, he plays a dick.
No. I don't mean that.
Entourage. Oh gosh, I have to rewatch
it. He's got a little bit of a heart, but he always wears a backwards hat. Now he actually has a great head of hair in real life. So he's not walking around with a backwards hat all the time, right? Right.
No, he's just a really nice guy.
He's just a normal dude. No. I have a question about the 4 stars of the movie. Mm-hmm. Now, Christian and I play a game from time to time that has never involved any female in this room, but it's a game that we like to play just to kind of match up who you think you're compatible with. So here's what I want to do with you right now. Out of the 4 leads of this movie, those 4 legendary actors, I'm going to say that you can hook up with one for the night. You can date one for a month, and you can marry one married to one forever. Yeah,
and then
one
person you'd kill, one person you'd marry, one person you sleep with, one person.
I'm trying to give her.
Want to say she'd kill one.
I'm giving her a year, a month, and a day of pleasure with 4 admittedly older gentlemen. Yeah. So who are you going to hook up with just for the night, and then who are you going to date for a little bit, and then who would you end up marrying?
Great question.
Okay, the one night stand.
Oh God,
would have to be with.
I'm gonna guess and say I know who it is.
Just De Niro.
Okay, one night stand with De Niro.
He's really, really, really short, so I couldn't marry him.
Yeah. And he's got that raging bull personality. He can just explode.
Yeah, I don't think I could ever settle down.
Get one night, get out before you get the bad side of the temper. Yeah. Smart thinking on your part.
Okay. And he was also the person I spent the least amount of time with, so I don't know him as well.
Yeah, right. It's just
typical
a one night stand.
One night stand behavior.
Just to say that. Hey, I slept with the raging bull. Let's move on.
Hey, excuse me, Bobby D. I left some spray tan in your bed. Sorry about that.
Exactly. You don't go back and apologize after that.
It's all right.
All right. So now you get to hook up with somebody for a little while, for about a month,
kind of date him.
Yeah,
Morgan Freeman.
That's
what I do for the story, you know, like he's your back for a little bit.
Do you think Morgan Freeman narrates while he's hooking up with a chick?
Absolutely.
Yeah, I'm kissing your ear
now.
I wish Freddie Lockhart was here right
now. Yeah, I know. Okay, now the big question. Now you have Michael Douglas or you have Kevin Klein to marry. Who do you take?
Kevin Klein.
I knew that's who she was going to pick.
Because he was the person I spent the most time with. Mm-hmm. Every day I would show up to set and he'd have a funny story to tell me. Like, he told me that he got his start in Hollywood because Mark Wahlberg. Him, Mark Wahlberg, and John, the director of Turtle Tab, were Chippendales in Vegas, and they wore gold thongs, and that was like their first taste of Hollywood, and they had me going for like a full day on this. And that right there, that moment, that was like early on in shooting, I like fell for him, fell in love with him, and like every day, like he would tell me stories. And
that's how he landed Phoebe Cates.
That's right.
You guys are funny. Yeah.
He's so funny.
Funny guys.
What's up, girl? How you
You're
doing?
Funny.
I'll turn that frown upside down, clown.
No, you won't.
All right, Jenna, while these two flirt, can you give me, what was one of the craziest stories that kind of happened on set? It could be with either one of the big four stars. It could be with anything. Maybe you, Jerry, whatever it was.
Craft services, somebody get some ham washed in your throat.
Was it all filmed in Vegas?
No, my part was all in Atlanta.
All in Atlanta. None of it was filmed in Vegas.
All of that night stuff in the Aria was, they literally rebuilt the Aria penthouse in Atlanta. Right. The daytime stuff in the Aria penthouse was in the Aria, so they literally built the exact same thing.
Wow.
It was unbelievable.
Okay.
Well, the first one was kind of sad. Morgan Freeman, we shot for like 3 weeks in Atlanta. He had the flu like really, really terribly. So he was just in between takes. He was like laying down. He had like two assistants like toweling him off. Like I felt it was so bad. And I wanted to like get to know him and hang out with him. But every time we'd wrap a scene, he'd go in his trailer and like sleep.
He was done.
He was so sick.
That's exactly how I behave between commercials here. Yeah.
Well, the man's like 80 years old too. So it's like,
he's pretty old.
That's why she's only taking him for a month.
Just a month.
She don't have to deal with any of those final settlements. Yeah,
he might not hang around for the past month.
But the funny thing,
we weren't playing the one where you kill someone, right?
No. We can all write this stuff off as the Halloween podcast. We're going to get a little morbid on the Halloween show, but we're nice people in real life.
That's right.
The funny thing was, whenever I had to shoot Maya and Jerry's kissing scene, we kind of regretted like getting to know each other, because then we're like, oh, we've been hanging out. Like, now we have to kiss. Like, this is like a very contrived thing. But he was so much shorter than me. We were like supposed to be dancing and like making out like in the club. But we were like that. So they had us both sit down on the couch. And they had me like straddling him because there was such a height difference. We couldn't make out standing up.
Can we get another apple box for Ferrara?
Yeah.
Exactly. All right, just have him sitting down.
But I always wanted to, too. So Jerry Ferrara, again, he's been, you know, that he's had his time with the hot ladies on Entourage and with when he dated Jamie Lynn Sigler. What are you saying, Johnny?
He always got the ugly role in Entourage. Sorry.
Jamie Lynn Sigler was ugly?
Eventually.
That's what I'm saying. So he's, and by
just
the way,
just cook your meth, Walt. Cook the meth.
Do another impression.
Or he's cooking too much.
This is my impression.
That's great. Two for two.
Where's the bloody handkerchief? Yeah.
Two for two. Now,
there's a reason why he's hidden behind a bunch of computers.
Yeah. Well, whose phone's going off? Come on, it's a
just
professional
stay
podcast.
Back there and launch a space shuttle or something. Leave the talking on the mic.
The reason I was asking Jerry Ferrara again, you figure because he has been with. Hanging out with Mark Wahlberg, too, you're going to see a lot of attractive women. I still wonder, in a scene where you get a hot woman like yourself straddling him, how does he handle it?
It's not
like,
a tough day at work.
It's not a handle. How does he handle it?
You know what you're asking.
That's what I'm saying.
I'll tell you how he handled it.
How does he handle it? Thank you, did you say?
Whenever we were done shooting, he literally stood up, shook my hand, and goes, "Nice work," and bolted.
Going into the bathroom?
He disappeared for a good half hour.
Oh, wait. Cobster's back. Cobster's back. I'm sorry, Jenna. I got to ask you. Cobster, come here. Come back over here. All right. So,
Clearly, he didn't get arrested.
Wait, real quick. Did the cops stop you?
No, and I got seven.
That's
seven,
right.
Seven prostitutes on Hollywood
Ken
Boulevard.
Napsok, you owe me a Wood Ranch.
I know Commander B. Grimal of Hollywood Division. I'll be on her phone tomorrow. Making this.
All right, get lost. We'll talk to Cobster in a second. Thank you.
You got some interviews with some people in costume.
It's a nice stupid bet. It's a stupid bet by you. All right, back to Jenna Sims, who we are very excited to have here. The new movie, Las Vegas, coming out this Friday.
It's coming out tonight.
Yeah, you can go see it at midnight if you're on the West Coast. Forget all this Halloween.
Go in your Halloween costume.
No, wait. Unless you're going to the same party that Jenna's going to later, then I recommend going to the party because it's going to be a show. If you're not going to that one, then go see it at midnight.
Yeah, right. I'm going to see it tomorrow with my friends.
All right, awesome. You know,
are your friends going to embarrass you in the theater and be like, "That's her"?
I hope so.
Did you go to the premiere and everything?
I did.
And how was the premiere?
So fun.
Yeah.
The after party was really fun too.
What happened at the after party? Anything good?
No, all the like stars left, so we were just dancing. Me and my girlfriend just danced all night. It was
still a lot of fun.
One of those Vegas nights.
With that kind of party, do you feel like it? Like when the four stars leave, it's like your parents just left for the weekend because they're like, bring out the kegs. Michael Douglas just left.
Well, wait, when you go, so you go to the after party though too, and you're in Vegas. You said just a normal Vegas crazy night.
just one of those, like, they had, we had open bar for, like, you know, until midnight. And then at midnight, they let the other people in. And so then it became, like, a real club.
Yeah.
And
the commoners, the pennies. The DJs changed.
The music got a little better.
The intern showed up.
Yeah. I don't think the intern got into that party.
No, he's still waiting.
he was playing nickel slots at the Circus.
What's Grandpa doing over there? okay, so Jenna, it's got to be super exciting to have this movie coming out, and the fact that you, I mean, it's your first big movie, right? A really big one.
Like, big one in theaters, yeah.
Right, so.
I did Attack of the 50-Foot Cheerleader, and that one was a pretty big deal for me, like, as a fan base and in the sci-fi world, but this
literally, she's 50 feet tall, right? That's a big deal for anybody. It came on sci-fi, right?
It's on Netflix right now. It was on Epix.
Okay, yeah.
But now it's on Netflix, and people are still watching it. I get something every day. People are like, oh my God, I love it.
Just one of those fun, kind of campier tone, but still enjoyable horror movies.
Yeah, and I was the lead of that, so that was pretty fun.
Probably people watching that right now.
And they can get that on Netflix, right?
It's on Netflix.
Okay, so make sure you guys check that out as well.
But here's what bugs me a little bit, is that she's not just in movies. She also runs, like, you're the president of your own charity, which clearly means you're hiding some demons in your past. So what did you do that you're now atoning for?
I'm charity because I'm a decent human being.
You did something in your past, Jenna.
Let me tell you something about Mark Ellis. Mark Ellis thinks that everyone has some demons in his past because that's what he wants.
There's skeletons in that Atlanta closet.
Do you really believe that? Look at her.
I started doing charity work when I was 10.
Oh my God. See? Yeah. When she was 9, she, like, killed a hobo and buried him in the desert.
Crazy things when I was in
she's actually
going to
kill somebody with those ears at the end of the line.
I love the charity. I love the name of the charity, too. It's is it Beauty?
HBBQ's pageant, or Has Been Beauty Queens.
Has Been Beauty Queens.
That's the name of my actual, like, nonprofit organization.
Uh-huh.
If you want to write a check, that's where you write it to.
Okay. HBBQ?
HBBQ's Inc. But my event that I hold is called Pageant of Hope. We hold pageants for kids with challenges where everyone leaves as a winner. I've been all over the world. I've been to Cuba, South Africa, Australia, all over the U.S.
Wow.
But we do their hair, we do their makeup, and at the end of the day, we crown every participant.
Wow. Nice. All right, so there's no competition.
No.
They all get sashes. Yeah.
They all get, like, crown sash. We get titles like Most Confident, you know, Mr. Personality, or whatever it is.
Can we give that sash to Josh the intern?
Yeah,
he just
please.
Looks like he needs a sash by the end of tonight.
Well, I like his Halloween costume. He gets the best costume.
Yeah, he does.
It's true. I didn't even know what the hell he was.
I love a good 90s reference.
Right before we went live, Christian, because he's going as Doug from the Nickelodeon cartoon Doug, but Christian looks at him right before we go live, and Christian's like, hey, JJ, what are you for Halloween? An adult?
It looks like it's the first time he looks like an adult.
No. You look like you're at Bushwood Country Club from Caddyshack.
You look like a Smurf last time I saw him. Now, Janet, one thing that also, that you just filmed a crime drama called Kill the Messenger.
Shoot him up, bang him up.
Yeah, and you got Hawkeye, Jeremy Renner himself in that movie, too. Dreamy, huh? Wow, you just
She's
fell
like,
in love.
I don't know.
Wow.
Yeah.
You're like, why wasn't
That's
he on
one.
The list? Wow.
No,
sorry, Kevin Kline.
He's shorter than me as well.
Does that really matter at that point? If you really think, if you thought.
Short kids.
But your eyes just lit up when I said his name.
Because he's the nicest. Out of every
It didn't light
Oscar
up like nice guy.
I've ever worked with. He's the nicest.
That didn't light up like nice guy though. That like he's dreamy type guy.
No, he's dreamy, but also he fits into most overhead compartments on an airplane, so you can travel with Jeremy Renner.
He shoots the arrows out.
Christian,
too.
You know this better than most. That's the thing about these Hollywood stars is that the females are all like they're of normal height, but all these Hollywood leading men, they're all like four. They're like long.
And they get them all.
He's like, but the thing about Jeremy is he. When I met him, he was in full hair and makeup. It was like 5 in the morning, so I was rolling in there like half asleep. And I didn't recognize him because the character he's playing is based off a real person, and he wasn't like Hawkeye. He was like a different person.
Where's your arrows, Renna?
Right.
Yeah, he had like facial hair, and it was like his own hair. He might have even been wearing a wig. So it took me a minute. He's like, hey, I'm Jeremy. I'm like, oh, hey, nice to meet you, blah, blah, blah.
No, you're not.
And he was very, like, touchy-feely.
Yeah,
like,
he was.
No,
get in there, Renner.
He's married. But he was very, like, he acted
You know what he calls
if...
his wife? The Hurt Locker. That's really what he calls his wife. That's his nickname for the old ball and chain.
Gwyneth Paltrow's also married. Go ahead.
He was very, like, welcoming and, like, touchy-feely. Not, like, in a flirty
way.
No, but
it just
but,
makes
like,
you comfortable
welcome.
On set.
Yeah, exactly. And then they added some stuff. I got to do some really neat things whenever I was working with him. And he was, like, talking me through it. Like, we did this big, like, cop bust-in scene. I had to, like, scream and, like, fight the cops off. And he was, like, helping me, like, do stunt work. And
oh, that's awesome.
I had his crazy, like, scream. And he's like, oh, my God, I love your scream. Like, everything out of his mouth was very positive that's and, cool. like, helpful.
Yeah. Oh, well, yeah, thank God cops didn't get arrested. Because if he got arrested, we could have used Jenna. Just go down there and fight off some cops, do some screams, free our intern.
Well, you know, again, we'll bring it back real quick to Entourage, which you were also on an episode of Entourage,
that was
correct?
My very first acting.
Is that how you met Jerry?
I never met Jerry because I worked with Jeremy Piven and I know Doug Elin, the creator.
Okay, cool.
But I was with Jerry Jones, the Dallas Cowboys owner.
Yeah. Oh, were you okay, really? So that guy's just a Texas nutcase, just a billion-dollar nut job, right?
But he's a but he's a force of nature, though.
I was the flight attendant on his private plane.
Oh yeah. Did he hit on you? Did Jerry Jones hit on you? No. I just want to know what he's going after.
Someone did.
He was so nervous. No, because he had lines. He was so nervous. Couldn't even like do anything.
That's awesome.
That shows you how cool that dude is, though. Too. He didn't.
Jerry Jones?
Yeah.
It's hard to be cool when you're the mayor of hell. I did not like Jerry Jones at all. Hail to the Redskins! Right, fight for old DC.
Yeah, all right.
Tell us how you really feel.
Nice Giants shirt you have on.
It's NFC East. You should hate the guy too.
I do hate him. Anyway, so another show you were on that I was a huge fan of, well, up until the end, was Dexter.
That's the one I always get.
Yes. So what was your arc again on Dexter, and what did you enjoy about the show?
I was on the season 5 finale, and I was Masuka's date to party they had, which I believe was for Dexter's son or the kid.
Mm-hmm.
And the whole joke was that he paid like a prostitute, me or a call girl, to be his date because I was dressed entirely inappropriately for this party. I had this like low cut tight pink dress on, and I was like a little heavier than I am now, so my butt was like really big. And
oh man, what an eyesore that must have been.
But there were like these message boards after it aired. I didn't realize how popular the show was.
Oh man.
I'm still on these message boards. They're like, that girl in the pink had a fake butt and like all this stuff.
Fake?
You can why still fake? Find it. It's all over these Dexter message boards.
Don't worry, our fans just did.
People say the weirdest things
I know,
on
like,
message
like,
boards.
Her butt was fake. I'm like, that was me.
But it was definitely real. You didn't Nicki Minaj it. There's no implant. There's no
padded.
I had a butt. Okay. But it was extra large.
All right.
I tried like 2 years ago.
We'll have to confirm
that
at the break.
I don't think anything about you could be called extra large. Let's just be honest.
Except for the Carl's Jr. combo meal she's about to get in about a half hour.
Yes. All right. That's true.
All right. Well, you can
Christian
see.
Just blacked out for a second.
Blacked out.
Because Christian's thinking about how he's going to explain to his wife why he's watching the season 5 finale of Dexter again. In slow motion.
Trolling message boards about
he's freeze framing
butts.
That thing.
Research. Jenna, thank you so much for joining us
thank
today.
You for
I got it. I think Jenna passed the test. So you know what we're going to do?
What are we gonna
do? I think we're going to invite Jenna back to the show one
of
time.
Course.
And Jenna not only is going to keep us updated what's going on in her career, she also can be one of the contestants on the celebrity dating game.
Well, you got to tell her what it is.
Oh, yeah.
I guess that's when this whole crew of people, you come in and you get to be the star of your own dating game. Everybody here, we do celebrity impressions of different ones, and you have to decide, much like the Las Vegas game we just played, which celebrity you're going to go on a date with.
Okay.
They're all horrible impressions, but it's really fun. We have a lot of fun with it. And usually
we're
all drunk by then, so please come back soon.
Again, so thank you so much for joining us. Find Jenna. Is it at J-E-N-A?
J-E-N-A. M, my middle initial, Sims. Jenna M. Sims.
Okay, so check her out on Twitter and go see Las Vegas coming out tonight with four of the biggest legends in film.
And our review of Las Vegas is up. You can check it out on our YouTube channel, YouTube.com/SchmoesKno. And we both enjoyed it. We both gave it a fresh on Rotten Tomatoes. Very fun movie. Kevin Kline has a line towards the end that just blew me out of the water.
So literally.
Don't say it!
After the break. All right, guys. SchmoesKno Movies will be back. It's our Halloween special. It's all about horror movies from 9 to 10.
Listening to the Toad Hop Network, radio worth watching.
What's up, Toadheads? Hey, make sure you check out the Toad Hop store on ToadHopNetwork.com. It's a great way to support the network and helps continue to bring you quality programming.
Quality programming, my ass.
Can you see I'm recording you? Oh!
So maybe you've got a great idea for a business and want to start selling your products or services online. Maybe you're an established business owner looking for new customers. Or maybe you're interested in starting a personal website. No matter who you are, GoDaddy wants to help you kick ass online. Right now, GoDaddy's offering .com domains for just $1.99. It's go time. Start your website today. Visit GoDaddy.com and enter promo code TOAD to get your $1.99.com or click on the GoDaddy graphic on the Toad Hop website. Some limitations apply. See website for details.
Is that hunk of junk you call a car always breaking down and leaving you in the dust? Log on to Dyson-Motors.com and check out Dyson's full inventory online. With hundreds of quality cars in stock of all makes and models, you can find the next car of your dreams in minutes. And know you're getting super low pricing. Purchase a car today from Dyson Motors and receive a year of free oil changes. Bad credit? Worried about financing? Log on and get pre-approved in seconds. Go to Dyson-Motors.com and find your new car today.
What's up, everyone? Sports Guru here. Sick of looking at the same old boring websites? Well, check out the new sportsguru.com for all the hottest trending videos and all the biggest sports news. Become a VIP for only $4.99 and get premium access to everything the Sports Guru has to offer. The beautiful gurus, girls, all my biggest sports picks, and much more. So get off that porn site and check out the new sportsguru.com.
To leave your house to shop, to crawl through traffic to the mall,
just to find the thing you wanted,
isn't even there at all.
Amazon.com is the answer.
Shop at home in style and ease.
Find exactly what you want.
Ordering your stuff's a breeze.
Books on tape,
games galore,
everything you're looking for.
Kindle, cameras, electronics,
baby Einstein,
hooked on phonics,
Blu-ray,
movies,
and TV,
download
music,
MP3,
Pixar,
Disney,
microphone,
pet supplies and doggy bones,
World of Warcraft,
Nancy Drew,
Sims,
the Scruff
System too.
Click Amazon,
you'll smile with glee.
Sometimes shipping's even free.
With GameFly, choose from over 6,000 titles. Play as long as you want and send them back when you're done. $8.95 to start, no late fees. GameFly.com, games delivered.
Live
from the Toad Hop Network studios
in Hollywood,
this
is the ToadHopNetwork.com.
Enhances the senses, opens your mind.
Radio worth watching.
Radio worth watching.
Someone's about to kill me.
It's gonna happen.
Bobby Finstock shows up and he's so mad.
Riley with the moves. We are.
That was amazing.
Happy Halloween, everybody.
Woo!
It is the Schmoes No Movies Show.
That's really scary.
The Halloween special. Wow. I mean, we've had a first great hour. Now we're getting into all the scary movies. What we're all talking about here, it's horror movies. It is our favorite horror movies, our favorite scary movies. Yeah. You Schmoville will be tweeting in and calling in and talking about it. But before we do that,
this is the soundtrack to what's going to play when me and Jenna Sims go on a date.
Oh,
it's
yeah,
the Nightmare on Elm Street music.
And you show up to like Arby's or something.
I'm classy.
Yeah,
I'm surprised you didn't run after her when she left to go find where she was going for the party.
Easy.
She was a pretty attractive girl.
Easy,
look, I'm a pretty attractive guy. She knows where to find me.
I'm not gonna lie. When she got up to take that photo, I totally looked at her butt to be like,
How was it? I missed it.
Like a tiny little butt, like
really?
To go on that tiny little body.
I caught a glance and it looked okay.
Both Walter White and Yodi are both like giving me big thumbs up.
Dude, Riley was so like low key and just kind of relaxing. Yodi, then Jenna Sims Yodi comes in and all of a sudden he's just flying around like a hocus pocus witch.
Yeah. Kathy Kelly is pissed, by the way. Kathy Kelly is very upset.
Making your girl jealous, man.
Yeah, I gotta tweet her.
Yeah, do that. All right. So we are
1 week and she's already the old ball and chain. I gotta tweet the wife.
Well, right, Schmoville has already been filling in some blanks with some of the tweets we've been getting.
That's why we love Schmoville.
Yeah. All right, guys. So before we get into the Halloween movies, I want to talk about the Ripped Apparel. Ripped Apparel is great. Great. Speaking of, turn your phone down, please. We have great. We have great shirts on there right now, especially for the horror. You have Back to the Future, which is a fantastic one.
Yeah, we have a Back to the Future zombie one because you can get two and either one, and then the shirt's gone forever. So you have about, like, what, an hour left?
You got about an hour left if you want those right now. And
remind me at the break because I want to get the Back to the Future one.
Okay, cool.
I really like it's like Zombie Marty and Zombie Doc, and really it is good. Just hysterical to look at. And it's going to be a great shirt. And then from Halloween, from here to four, I won't have to actually get up in a stupid costume.
Yeah.
I can just wear the shirt and celebrate the holiday.
That's
and
you type such in, a lazy costume. You type in I like it.
You type in SK Carry for $1 off of the shirt, and there will be a new code for the month of November. Make sure you check Facebook.com/Schmozno or Twitter at Schmozno. We'll give you the new code. But now it's time for the horror movies.
Yeah.
So
the IRS is breathing down my neck like it's some kind of personal vendetta against Bobby Finstock.
Wait a minute.
It's Bobby Finstock. No. It's Bobby Finstock.
Well,
no.
Made his music.
No.
Bobby Finstock.
Maybe he's not here.
Just
maybe Walter White's going a little mad. I'm the engineering
thing. I was playing at the scare Tiffany.
funny.
I already got scared, like, legitimately.
No, Bobby Finstock is not here.
Yeah, Tiffany is on pins and needles now. Christian is getting a little bit into his shell because he knows we're going to talk about one of my favorite film genres of all time, horror films.
I feel like I have to keep looking over my shoulder now.
Tiffany,
the IRS
focus
is breathing down my neck like it's some kind of personal vendetta against Bobby Finstock. Bobby Finstock, no. Bobby Finstock, no.
Is it the ghost of Finstock?
Bobby Finstock, no.
Copster, what's going on? I don't know what's happening now.
I won't do it.
I just keep looking back at the new intern. He's got this weird shit-eating grin on his face, like he knows something.
No,
and if the intern knows
he's
it, then the host should know.
That thing, isn't he?
No, twice as. Tweet us. What? It is pure chaos here in the Halloween episode.
This
Let's
is
go.
Like the set of The Exorcist when everything just went haywire because God clearly didn't want that movie getting out to the public.
All right.
I don't like having my back to the door right now.
Let's talk.
You want to come over and share my mic?
I want to talk. I want to talk to Schmobile here and get us started on Halloween movies. Uh-huh. Hey, you're in Schmobile. Who do we got?
Hey, this is Brian Tebay.
Brian, what's up, dude? So, Brian,
Ohio's own Brian Tebay.
That's right. So, Brian, what movie? Is a movie of yours your favorite, one of your favorite scary or Halloween movies that you like to revisit?
I have two that I want to talk about.
Sure.
The Shining is my favorite movie of all time.
Wow.
And definitely my favorite horror movie. Favorite Halloween movie is Trick or Treat. Have any of you guys seen that?
No,
I've
seen
that. Great movie.
Yeah.
I have not
seen that one.
Oh, that's a good Halloween movie, man.
Yeah, it's by... Michael Dougherty, who just announced that they're doing a sequel, and it was put on the shelf for 2 years because they kept making Saw movies, and they didn't want to compete with those. So finally, they just put it out straight to DVD, and it's done so well over the years as like a cult film that they actually got a sequel made just basically on word of mouth, and I think that's fantastic.
Yeah, you know, what'd be great is if they can get, because somehow I think the Paranormal Activity franchise is maybe, because that fifth one is starting now, it's coming out in January. So there's, and TB, I know you're a horror fan, so there was nothing in theaters this October that was really scary. I mean, Carrie was, I felt bad for her at the prom, but other than that, it didn't really terrify me. Wouldn't it be great to see a Trick or Treat franchise start to take over theaters when we need it the most in October?
Oh, man, that would be phenomenal just because. I was actually waiting years for that film to come out after I saw the trailer online, and then I saw it and I loved it, and like I couldn't talk with anybody about it because nobody knew what it was, and now it's gaining steam, and if more people found out about it, it would just be fantastic. It'd be so fun. They have a screening for it every Halloween at a theater near me. It's a little independent theater, and I go to that, and it's really nice to see the theater gets more packed every Halloween.
Yeah, that's the way to see
really cool.
A scary movie. You just go to like a little theater, you get in close with a bunch of people you don't know, and you just get the shit scared out of you together.
Well, Brian, thank you so much for the call, man.
No problem.
All right. So we.
I've never been so paranoid in this studio ever.
That was me. Ken and I made an agreement to try to. We were going to play it. We were going to play it three times to do the Beetlejuice.
Stop touching me!
But we're not going to do it.
And
all right.
You and Ken can recap how well when he buys you dinner at Wood Ranch.
That's right. It went terrible.
Oh,
so Tiffany, now will you tell me one of your favorite horror movies? I know you're not a huge fan of the genre, but what is a movie that just creeps you out that really? Gets
oh yeah,
you
I
know?
Forgot. Tiffany hates
scary
movies.
I hate love them. And I think it's like in the past year or so, I've definitely started like I like test myself more to be like, can I get through this movie? Can I get through this movie?
Right.
The first one I remember seeing that really affected me, well, probably I would say The Exorcist. But before that, yeah. I wasn't allowed to watch horror movies when I was little.
Oh, wow.
And so I snuck watching the making of Nightmare on Elm Street. It was like Freddy Krueger stuff.
Huh.
And so for a good month and a half, I would run up to my bed and jump. I wouldn't walk up. And because I thought he would slice my ankles. And so my mom didn't say anything after a month of it. She was like, why do you keep doing that? And I was like, because Freddy Krueger's under my bed because
how old
I watched
were you?
The
Wait, how old were you?
I was probably like 8.
Wow. Is that really scary? I mean, you get, because you, again, when we saw World War Z, you were clawing at both myself and
but
Riley.
But that's kind of
so.
The fun of it, right?
Of course. Yeah,
like,
yeah.
If you don't actually
saying,
get
that's
scared.
You now.
Yeah.
I can imagine
oh,
you at
yeah.
8. Yeah, yeah, and there's nothing like Freddy Krueger to scare a little kid because little kids, you know, you have nightmares, you have dreams, and then this guy can kill you. It's like Jason's scary, yeah. But as long as you're in a panic room, Jason can't get to you. He's not yeah. that smart of a guy, and he's a terrible swimmer. But Freddy Krueger can actually get into your head when you're asleep. That's like the scariest thing ever.
Yeah.
The good thing about
it's
Freddy,
like an awful version of the Sandman.
But he's not he's not the scariest guy to a kid simply because Freddy Krueger, I can always rationalize in my head when I was a kid, is that he was really, really funny too.
Yeah.
So he would have
he wasn't in the first one though.
No, he was a lot more scary in the first one. Right. Then he kind of, you know, started to
but
get his.
But that's even scarier because it's like I'm going to lull you into not being scared of me and then I'm going to kill you.
By the fifth or sixth Nightmare on Elm Street, I felt like if I met Freddy Krueger, I could talk my way out of a kill.
Right.
I'd be like, hey, let me punch up some of your jokes.
I'll get you up at the store.
Yeah. I'll get you a spot on the open mic at the Laugh Factory.
Yeah. No, I mean, he, of course, Freddy is one of those guys in the movies. The first one's so scary, though. Like, when he's got his arms, they stretch all the way out. And
that really, you talked about this on radio this morning because they asked us what our first scary movie was, mm-hmm. and Christian said Nightmare on Elm Street when Freddy stretches his arms. I don't remember that being the particularly scary. I think the claws out. On the end of the right arm is what scared me. But
that was there. In the fact, that was how I was kind of really introduced to it because his arm stretched out and he's just, it's like this guy can do anything.
You know the coolest shot in my opinion
anything.
In the history of the Nightmare on Elm Street franchise is Nightmare on Elm Street 3. The Dream Warriors is when his face comes out of a wall and you see just Freddy Krueger looking down and it's like this guy is literally in the fucking walls.
Yeah.
It's just so terrifying. One of my favorite scary movie villains of all time. And he should have defeated Jason in Freddy versus Jason.
Yeah, it was a cop out. I want to bring in the new kid for this one. Let's bring in Cobster. Cobster, come here. You can we'll use that mic right there. It's fine.
Is he out on parole?
Well, the kid just
he didn't get arrested.
He just won me a dinner at Wood Ranch. He's okay by me. Yeah. So, Cobster, what? I know that you haven't seen a lot of the older movies, but I'm not sure what is some of your favorite horror movies. What's one that scares you? It can be something that came out last year. Like, what's one that really gets you?
I grew up on horror films.
Okay,
horror
great.
Films are my go-to.
That's my boy. He gets you Wood Ranch. We talk movies.
Not many horror films are masterpieces like The Exorcist. Mm-hmm. Every year I have to see The Exorcist at least one time.
What mm-hmm. is it about The Exorcist in general that really gets you?
It's not only just a great horror film, but just a movie in general. I mean, it was a what do you call it? It was nominated, right, for Academy Award?
And it also, it just terrified audiences in such a mass way. Like, you know how people talk about Gravity for a couple weeks? Mm-hmm. They're like, oh, you got to see Gravity. That was The Exorcist for like 3 months back in 73 when it came out. Incidentally, the same year the Comedy Store was built, and it's probably not a coincidence.
Right. Well, I mean, it's still ranked as one of the scariest movies of all time from the way it's shot.
But the legends also,
the things that happen on set,
like
all that stuff, and the fact that, like, that, and, you know, even the pea soup thing, like, that, the pea soup's not good in general. So, like, the fact that all that stuff happens, it's like, it's just, there's just, it, some movies just have, whether it be sci-fi or, you know, whatever, the fantasy, they have that thing. And Exorcist had it in the horror.
Yeah, I'm putting up the picture that's on my phone right now. You guys can make that out. That's
I feel
me
like it also
at the Exorcist steps.
It has gone kind of through phases with horror films where it's like that was one of the beginnings of the like supernatural. There's no real like villain that you see, and then all of a sudden it ruins the movie for you. It's just spiritual kind of stuff.
That's
which
a
even
great
with...
point, Smith. Because usually in horror movies, it gets up and it's really easy to make a scary horror movie for the first half because you're like, what is this thing that we're worried about?
Once you see it.
It's like, oh, that can be defeated. Yeah. It can be killed. It's like Ivan Drago. If it bleeds, you know, you can kill it.
That's Predator.
But
It's an 80s action movie. We're talking horror movies, yeah. Damn it. I don't have to bring my A game with the 80s
stuff. Even like Insidious, the first one, I remember being like, that's Darth Maul in the corner.
That was a pretty cool.
Copster, thank you. But the other thing with Copster, that, guys, make sure you follow Copster at Copster, C-O-B-B-S-T-E-R 15. If you're listening to this on iTunes, if you're not watching it live, whatever. If you are watching live, follow him right now. And another thing he's been doing, he taped a whole bunch of video that we just made him do on the street right now. But he also interviewed, I believe, Jenna Sims that he's going to put up there as well. Make sure you go to Schmo Plus because Copster right now is going to be the star of that channel. So make sure you check that out. Subscribe there. Copster, thank you so much for chiming in. We'll get you in there a little later.
Yeah.
Hey, Copster, did Jenna Sims say anything about Tiffany staring at her ass?
No. No. But she didn't see me
staring at her ass.
Did you shoot? What did you shoot? Did you shoot her ass when you
Christian,
were shooting?
Christian, well, easy.
It was part of the bit.
Alice, settle down.
She kind of turned, too, when she started talking about it. Like, we were right, me and JTR were right behind her.
And she was
I was just like.
That's just saying that is creepy in itself. Me and JTR were right behind her.
You're perfect for the show. You're perfect.
Awesome.
All right, thank
you. Just don't start taking pictures of feet, okay?
All right, we have a call. Oh, yeah, shoozy. All right, we have a call from Schmoville to get us into our next movie. Hey, you're in Schmoville. Who do we got?
Hey, what's up, guys? Southie Clackboy Raul from Boston, reporting for duty.
What's up, Raul? Nice. How you doing, brother? What do you got? What horror film you got for us tonight?
Well, before I say something, first I got to compliment Tiffany on her costume.
Right.
I mean, I always wondered what the love child of Mary Poppins and Brandon Lee's Crow would look like.
Ah,
I like it.
I like it.
All right, good there stuff. You go. That works.
Okay, so what do you got for us tonight? That was great. I mean, you could tune out on that
one. Ever since I was a little kid, when my brother and sister introduced me for the series, every October I always got to watch it, and that's the Evil Dead series. My favorite being Army of Darkness.
Oh, wow. Okay, so the third one, you would say, is the... Because didn't you think the third one is a tad more on the action side?
And humor, too,
and humor more than the... I mean, because I know the first one is more pure horror, and the second one really started to add more of the comedy into it, and really that's where Sam Raimi put his spin on it.
Yeah.
But I think the third one transitioned into more of an action comedy. Do you agree or disagree with that?
A little bit of that, but it's just I love the trilogy in its entirety. And then when the fourth one came out, I'm like, holy shit. This is a movie I've been waiting for.
Well, absolutely. Did you listen to our news scoop that Ken Napsok delivered earlier today? That he said that there's confirmation of Army of Darkness too. So
Army of Darkness 2, and then the tie-in, and
oh right, in the remake, right?
I swear, I haven't been this happy since when the Sox won the World Series last night.
Yes. You're out of there. Just hung up on him. All right.
I was going to say, Christian got a little horror movie last night.
Yeah, sure. Disgusting. JTI, get out. Come back later. Seriously, get out. That's the only power
hey,
I have
look,
right
guys,
now.
Can't we
get
all
out.
Be happy no. for the American League
get
East?
Get out. Now don't come back.
I'm an Orioles fan, so it feels like all of us won the World Series. Yeah,
that's right. All right, now let's get back into the heart. Where'd Yodi go? Yodi gone also?
I don't know.
Right. Yodi and Jenna Sims are both not in the room.
Guys,
interesting.
All right. Well, all right, so let's get... I want
to
talk...
It.
No, we're not getting Finstock.
Don't lie to
me. I already tried it. I'm going to talk about a movie that I actually... thought was really creepy. It's a movie that we talked about with Mark Thompson when we were on his podcast.
Yeah.
And that would be The Strangers. The Strangers, mm-hmm. to me, creeped me out. And I had actually seen a cut of that movie when they showed their faces, because in the actual cut that came out, they don't show their faces.
Wait, without all. Because the bags over their head is the whole, like, that's that, whole that those potato sack things.
Yeah, they took them out. They took them off for, in this cut that I saw. Naveed had a cut in his office when I worked there.
Really?
Yeah.
So how does that focus group, because is the audience like, you know, it would be scarier if they had potato sacks
I'm
in
sure,
their
I'm sure it was just they were sitting around going, you know, it's creepier if we don't show these people's faces. And it was, because that was kind of the essence of the movie.
It's emotionless.
It could have been anybody. And it could have been anybody. Yeah. That was the point of it. Yeah. You don't want to know who they are because it was a random crime done by random people. And it's terrifying film. It really is. Yeah. It's the only movie that I saw. And there's a stupid thing in Schmoville. They think that I hate horror films. And it's not that I hate horror films. It's that I've said it a million times before. I think it's the laziest of all the genres.
Yeah, and they give you nightmares. And that's why...
I shit my pants daily when I watch it. But this movie... When I watch it, I appreciate it as a good film.
Yeah, you know what's cool about The Strangers, too, is that The Strangers, like, you know when you talk about, like, a big-budget action film, and you have, like the Avengers have, like, that money shot of all of them together, and that gets you in the theater, or The Perfect Storm, when you see the boat almost get over the wave, and you're like, oh, I got to pay money to see what happens there. The Strangers had that moment in the trailer, because they just had the couple looking around, and then you just see, out in the background, this head with this sack on it pop out, look,
and then go back in. And everybody went, I got to see what the hell happens next in that film.
Yeah, and at the end of the movie, I was just sitting. I never stay for the credits, unless it's like a Marvel movie. Mm-hmm. But I'm sitting there watching the credits, and I just couldn't move. I was like, that was just creepy as all. Have you seen
it? It's the worst when it's things that could actually happen by crazy people.
Right.
Ones are the scariest. Yeah. When it's like a villain that, you know, Jason or Freddy. So it's not real. Right. Like
the realistic ones, like the strangers, the leprechauns.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Well, really, even like that's why I never read what's the Capote, the book that
Capote
in Cold Blood.
Yeah, I never read In Cold Blood because I was like, that kind of stuff freaks me out. Where it's like
stuff that could happen.
There's kind
stuff
of no reason behind it, and they just chose a random whatever, and that's when I think another thing that scared me so much when I was little, I was home by myself one time, and I was in middle school at this point.
The calls are coming from inside the house.
Well, it was during the day, and so I normally would answer the door, like if someone knocked, because maybe it was like a box or the mail guy or the lawn, whatever.
How far down this rabbit hole are we going? I hope nothing bad happened.
Nothing bad happened, but so I go to open the door and I'm like, oh, I'm not gonna. For some reason, I felt weird, so I unlock it and lock it back, and I go back in the other room.
Smart.
I see him walking around the house. So I go start running around, closing all the blinds. And it's daytime, so you're like, it's not that scary.
Who was it?
Was it Choosing Pants?
Legitimately, 5 minutes later, he starts banging on the front door, yelling, let me in. I got under my desk. Called my parents, and I was like, I'm freaking out. There's a guy here. He's screaming at the door. They called our neighbors, and they're like, yeah, there's a white truck in your driveway.
Huh.
And then, 10 minutes later, the guy left. I was in middle school. It was creepy.
Okay, in that situation, kids listening, definitely let the guy in.
Don't open the door for strangers.
He probably really needs something. Popcorn.
By the way, you are never allowed to watch my daughter.
Yeah.
All right. So now, guys, I mean, we talked about that. Door. That actually can transition to the fact that we can talk about Scream. Now, Scream, again, another Wes Craven movie. The beginning of that movie is terrifying as well. You just said, it's so good. My God, they had that scene with Drew Barrymore because it was Drew Barrymore.
Do you like scary movies?
No one expected her to die.
No, and it was so creepy, the way that it happened. And I emotionally felt for it when I was watching. It wasn't just like, some asshole that dies. Whatever. It's Drew Barrymore. Gertie, don't kill Gertie. and it happened. It was terrifying. So, and the way that they did it was so gruesome.
And they turned the genre on its ear a little bit too. Yeah. Because it put a little bit of humor and it kind of had a wink. Like there's a line in it when Tatum is telling Sydney, she's like, it's like one of those scary movies, like that Wes Carpenter guy, you know. And it's a wink and a nod.
When it's like the one person who goes to get the snacks while they're watching a movie or something, don't they? I haven't seen it in so long that I feel like they were all hanging out. And they're like, oh, you're going to be the one to die, and then it actually does happen
Scary movie playing. Don't say I'll be right back. Yeah. I'll be right back. And Matthew Lillard was so good in that movie too.
He was.
Yeah, it'll be a scream, baby. Whatever he says.
Good news, Christian.
Yeah,
we found Riley.
Yodi.
Oh, were you looking for me?
Yeah.
I was.
Yeah. Hi. What were you doing, Yodi?
Peeing.
Peeing. Okay, yeah. Good for you. That's pretty, that okay? That can be scary at a man your age.
Yeah, it can be. The prostate acting out the way it is. I had to force lightning it.
Look at that. So you are the emperor tonight. Now, Yodi, what are some of your movies that what's a movie right now that you could say is fairly creepy? That's
fairly
scary.
Creepy. I mean, we've talked about a lot of them, but I think recently The Conjuring.
Conjuring's a good one. Yeah.
Got me.
Really new.
So well. I walked out of it. I went by myself because I just
bad idea.
I've been hearing so many good things about it. I went. It freaked me out. I left and I went. My favorite horror movie is The Exorcist.
Yeah.
Close second is Halloween.
Okay.
Conjuring is like in the top three now.
Wow.
Yeah. It got me back
there. And you know what's different from that movie, from the previous two you mentioned, was that no one, and again, spoiler alert, I guess, no one dies in The Conjuring.
Yeah,
and so there's no deaths. I mean, in the movie, so you're watching, and you didn't need it because again, based off true story, you didn't have to have those gratuitous deaths because that's not where the scares came from.
Well, and I think there's something like there was definitely a phase with all the Saw movies where it's like gore porn that everyone loved, that people were really into, and I think we're kind of getting over that hump, and people aren't wanting to see that anymore,
which is awesome because I don't like all that stuff, like all the human centipede kind of shit. Yeah. I don't need all that stuff. You can scare me more, like in The Conjuring, with just two hands out of nowhere clapping, than you can with all the gore and guts and all that stuff in the world.
Couple tweets here. @JKressel47 writes in, how about Cabin in the Woods? I don't put Cabin in the Woods as a horror film. I think Cabin in the Woods is a is a spoof genre film,
but
which
it's a
I
great
love.
It's,
love
a,
it.
It's a great love Halloween
a
film.
It's a good Halloween film. That's true. That's true. If we're talking about Halloween films, then yeah, I agree.
Just
I agree.
That elevator scene when literally everything you ever were afraid of as a child or an adult comes out of the elevators at the same time.
Yeah,
it, like it's a New York City subway or something. I loved that scene.
Right. Yeah, but was it? I mean, I wouldn't say Cabin in the Woods was scary.
That's what I'm saying. I'm saying I think.
Yeah, I mean, I see what you're saying.
Elephant Point on a Halloween movie, I think it is.
Yeah. Halloween
have
movie
some
fun
size Snickers.
Yeah,
and have a couple laughs, a couple chills. Enjoy true. A young Thor well, in a cabin in the woods.
There's there you go. Halloween movies, then that absolutely counts, Joe. All right, let's take a call from Schmoville.
Like
see what movies. Hey, you're in Schmoville. Who do we got?
I love the craft.
Sorry, Tiffany spoke over you. Hey, you're in Schmoville. Who do we got?
Hey, Hunter.
Hey, man, Hunter. What's up, dude? So, what movie you got for us that you want to talk about?
Talk about the original Halloween.
The original Halloween. Okay, that's great. So
Riley
what,
just got really excited.
Yeah, Riley's very excited now.
That's my fave. One of my faves.
What is it now about Halloween that that gets you?
Besides Jamie Lee Curtis's breasts, what about Halloween is your favorite part?
Probably every time I watch it, I forget about what happens, and it gets me every time.
That's an awesome answer.
That's a great answer.
Because Halloween is so creepy, lull you into that sense of security. Then as soon as you hear the piano, which John Carpenter plays himself.
Oh, yeah.
John Carpenter needed a score, and he didn't have a lot of money, so he was like, you know what? I'll just tickle these ivories, and it's an iconic score.
Yeah. I watched it late last night. It was on AMC.
Bad idea. The IRS is breathing down my neck like it's some kind of personal vendetta against Bobby Finstock.
It's got to stop. It's got to stop.
Yeah, Bobby Finstock.
This has got to
Bobby
stop.
It's just no. It's Bobby Finstock.
No, I meant play the Halloween music. Not
what,
that again.
What the
man.
Heck?
No,
Ken is sticking to his role as the creepy guy at the airport bar.
That was really funny. No. Yeah.
Soundtracks, though, are some of the scary stuff. Like, even in Insidious, both times at the very beginning, I have to fast, you know, at the very beginning when the music comes on and it's all those, like,
oh yeah,
yeah. I have to fast forward. I can't watch it. Yeah. And the same thing with like American Horror Story when the music comes on at the beginning. I'm like, nope, can't do it.
Do you watch American Horror Story? I'm shocked if you don't.
No, I'm kind of waiting to watch the first one, like all, because I don't want to see a horror TV show week to week to week like Breaking Bad. I want to see it all in one piece. Like spend just like a night, you know, with a couple.
I did
broads.
The second season that way.
You know, just get a mountain of blow and a couple hot girls and just watch
didn't
all of them
that.
Together.
Didn't
but
do
but
that.
American Horror Story is only like 6 episodes for each season, right?
No, it's like 13. Episodes.
Oh my god,
it's
gonna be a lot of work.
You're gonna
I just started
out.
Taping Coven and I want to get to it.
Coven,
which
Coven.
Is so the different. Is American Horror, the newest.
American, the
new
one.
New season with all the snakes going in and out of the witch's mouth. Yep, freaky.
Pit Boss, what you got for us? Got anything good?
In terms of horror movies?
What were you allowed to see as a
Halloween movie?
I was not allowed to see any horror movies. I didn't watch any Halloweens. I wasn't allowed to celebrate Halloween.
Any Halloween movie, though? Anything in you weren't allowed to celebrate Halloween at all?
What was
did
the first
you
time you had a Milky Way?
Charlie Brown? Pumpkin, whatever.
Yeah, wait, the great pumpkin.
Charlie
wait,
Brown.
Wait, stop for a second. Your parents wouldn't allow you to dress up?
No, I dressed up.
In
but,
a suit. In a little suit.
We went to a church-sponsored alternative called the Hallelujah Hoedown.
Mm-hmm. Wow.
And
never,
shit that was an
beliefs.
Emperor Palpatine laugh right there.
What?
Wow.
Your transformation to
have
the dark
never
side
to this day trick-or-treated and never dressed up for Halloween since.
Oh, you
should have
called me. I took my daughter trick-or-treating before I would have taken you with us.
Yeah, I parked my van in the park nearby.
I was allowed to dress up, but just never as anything scary. Like, I couldn't.
Yeah, there was that.
We didn't do anything like
that. Now, so that's a religious thing? What is that?
Come on down to the Hallelujah Hoedown! We're selling Bibles, pancakes.
It was fun.
Well, Tiffany said she wasn't allowed to either.
Apple bobbing?
Hold on, everyone's talking over you. You guys are both very religious. Which is,
I'm a Christian.
Yeah, I'm a Christian. I wouldn't say
religious
either. Okay, excuse me. Yeah, no, I'm clarifying.
I don't know. I'm a heathen. So the fact that you got, you're very Christian.
I was with you in 2006.
All right, now. I wasn't.
Can we get Bonnie Somerville on the line?
What, I mean, really? Every episode?
No,
so,
easy, Ellis.
Every episode.
Easy. Now, is that a thing? Is that a thing in the religion that says you can't dress up as Yoda
or something
walk around and get Snickers?
I could dress up as, like, nice things.
Okay.
But it's the more of, like, there's definitely a part of it that is, like, I feel like a lot of times it will glorify, like, demonic or satanic things.
That I understand.
Yeah, so I was allowed to dress
but
up, but I did,
about,
like, Dorothy.
He's got a weird, like, halos and wings and stuff.
I wasn't forbid, like, a Jedi in love. I was... It was we were pushed towards the direction of dressing up like cowboys and cowgirls and going to a
church. Old Mark Ellis needs to have a conversation with your guys' rents, because here's why Halloween started. It's because religious people dressed up like the demons to scare other shit out of the town. All right, they said, "Hey, get the hell out of Dodge and leave the nerds and the sweet tarts at the door on your way out."
Understood, but it certainly has evolved into something. Yeah. Cobster just interviewed two satanic worshippers down on the street for Halloween.
Well, this it's also Hollywood Boulevard.
Right.
Oh,
they'll be there on Thursday. Yeah. So. All right. So we're on another call from Schmoville. We'll get back into the movies here. Hey, you're in Schmoville. Who do we got?
Holy crap. I'm actually on.
Happy Halloween.
Yeah, which movie was that? Was that Holy Crap 1 or Holy Crap 2?
Which you already talked about Halloween.
Yeah. What other ones? What are some of the ones that really get you going? What's your name, by the way?
It's Isaiah.
Isaiah.
I'm from West Virginia.
What's up, buddy? So, okay, Isaiah, so what's a movie out there that, you know, you watch and you, whether you think it's good for Halloween or you think it's creepy, what's one that you, that always sticks out? Someone said, hey, Isaiah, I need to watch a good Halloween flick. What do I watch?
Well, the first one that really got to me was Scream. I know you already talked about it.
That's all right.
That was the reason that, like, I would check in my closet at night.
Like, nice.
I always looked for Ghostface. Yeah. Plus, my brother had a mask of Ghostface and would always scare me with it, so that didn't help either.
Oh, that's tough, yeah, because if you're scared of Scream, it's like, because you got to worry about Ghostface and Skeet Ulrich climbing in your window,
looking for
a place to sleep for the night.
Right.
Which version of, which episode, which Scream was it when the people get killed in the movie theater?
Two.
That one terrifies me too, because I'm always like, especially starting to do going on horror things now. Like, I went on the Hayride, I'm going to see Delusion another night, and I'm like, what if there was a crazy in there?
Like, yeah, I mean, look, it's happened.
And it's really freaky. You know what's also good is in Scream,
Isaiah, thank you, man.
Yeah, in Scream 3, there's a really
thanks.
Scream 3 isn't the best of the franchise. There's a really terrifying scene when Neve Campbell sees her dead mom walking towards her, and I was in the theater watching that, and I was, because Scream 3 by that time was like they're going for laughs as much as horror.
Yeah. Right.
But that scene of her mom walking towards her, that stuck with me. And when we, I guess when we get to the other side of the break, I'll tell you guys about what the scariest image. No more breaks. Oh, we're coasting.
We're hosting.
What?
Oh, okay, cool. All right.
Party on the podcast.
Yeah, I mean, again, that's the thing, is that there's, you know, Mark, when you talk about the fact, like with Scream or a lot of these sequels in general, that once you get past the first initial premise or whatever it is, then you're reaching for it. I mean, the Saw movies did it, Halloween, obviously. And that's the thing, is that once you get past that initial premise, it's hard to consistently stay scary.
Nothing jumps the shark like a horror movie franchise.
Yeah, it's
like,
true.
I don't know that there's one, and even like the greatest horror film of all time, The Exorcist, had The Exorcist 2, The Heretic, which is atrocious.
Yeah.
And then Exorcist 3. What I'll say about Exorcist 3 is that it did have George C. Scott in it, and he's great, and they went back to the original steps. And The Exorcist 3, it's okay. The trailer for The Exorcist 3, all they needed to show was George C. Scott at night by those steps, and it already hooked me.
I kind of liked Exorcist 3 a lot.
Yeah,
actually. There's a great scary scene. You're talking about the scene with like Neve Campbell's mom, like walking, sticking with you. That scene where like the nurse is like walking around and checking like the beds, and then she walks out and walks away, and like through the door frame you see this crazy killer run with the something after her. It freaked the hell out of me. It was one of the patients got possessed by the devil.
Yeah, there's something about women in authority positions in horror films.
Right.
It just scare the piss out of me.
It's not even a horror film. A Nurse Ratched still scares the shit out of me. All right, I got Cobster also is the horror guy. So what's another horror
movie?
He's
not the horror guy. I think I'm the horror guy.
Maybe we'll have a battle. Look, how about this thing?
Oh, God.
Actually, I'm the horror guy.
All right,
I don't know if you know this or not.
All right, well, then how about this, animals? How about this? Because we're going to play the game tonight.
Horror battle.
Okay. We're going to play the game.
Oh, yeah?
I know that I stink at the game. So why don't we put the kid in the game?
What are you talking about? You're really good at the game.
Horror films?
Is it strictly horror films?
Tonight's just horror. I'm going to listen in. I'll play, but I'm going to let the kid kind of play. We'll do Riley, Tiffany. You want to play?
The movie clip game.
Horror films.
I think Tiffany's out because she can't put the headphones
Cobster,
on.
Cobster will take Tiffany's spot.
And I wish him the best of luck. And if he happens to beat me, then have fun back at DeVry, wherever you came from, because you're off the show.
All right.
Off the show.
That is not true. I'll veto that. How about, so give us a horror movie that we can talk about and show your worth as a horror fan.
Okay. We tweeted about this like a few shows back. New Nightmare.
Oh, very yeah. underrated.
Really? Wes Craven.
Why is it underrated? When I think about that movie, I think it's kind of silly. Why is it?
It is underrated.
It was at that point where the series was really, really bad, and so Wes Craven just went back and do it, and he's like, forget all that stuff that happened, and let's do something new, and it worked.
Yeah. Okay. What he did he turned all of the Nightmare on Elm Street movies into just movies.
Right.
And now we're
back. Johnny Depp showed up in it too, right?
No.
Johnny Depp was not in it. Are you sure?
No, new Nightmare. I think they mentioned him.
Yeah, I think they referenced him. But I mean, Heather Wagenkamp was playing herself, and it was, you know, and
Wes Craven
and John
played
Saxon
himself.
Was,
yeah.
And Robert Englund
played himself.
And he's like, hey, I'm not Freddy Krueger, Mr. Robert Englund. But then, oh, shit, there's a real Freddy Krueger. Mm-hmm. I thought it was a really cool concept.
Yeah, I liked it. And the scares were good. The kills were good. It had a creepy factor to it.
Mm-hmm.
And Freddy was – like the look of him was different. He didn't have the hat. He had a trench coat on and he was darker and he was more demonic.
He had like an underground kind of layer almost like where the Ninja Turtles wouldn't even live.
Yeah.
You know? But the Nightmare on Elm Street franchise to me really affected me as a youth and as an adult. But again, the single scariest image that I've ever seen in film, just edging out Zelda from Pet Sematary, is for whatever reason there's a nun. In
part three.
And maybe you Hallelujah Hoedown people can relate to scary nuns in film or in reality.
Yeah.
Is that there's a nun in Nightmare on Elm Street 3, and she's dressed all in white. And if you haven't seen it, I won't spoil what character she is, but she's pivotal to the film.
Spoiled it then.
My God, because she's so still. She disappeared
in the cemetery.
Yeah, and you don't know is am I really seeing this? Is this a real person? Is this a vision? What is this thing? And oh my God, that woman tortures me to this day. She scares the fuck out of me.
I also think it's when you see things that are supposed to have like a comforting vibe.
The IRS is breathing down my neck like it's some kind of personal vendetta against Bobby Finstock.
I am not now it's coming next week.
Bobby Finstock. No.
It's
Bobby Finstock. No.
This is ridiculous.
You think? Yeah, but Tiffany.
Can this just stop?
You want to go? Stop. I mean, it's kind of.
That's your horror movie.
This is my horror movie.
Yeah. Tiff, you know what I love about these Finstock calls is that much like a horror franchise, by the fourth or fifth one,
it's done.
It's just jumping the shark.
It's jumping the shark.
You should not be scared of this anymore.
No, you shouldn't.
Because he's going to actually show up.
You need to handle this.
And we already saw how scared I got. How scared.
Wow, you scared. Scared.
Oh. All right, let's take a call from Schmobile. Hey, you're in Schmobile. Who do we got?
Hey, Hunter?
Hey, man, so what do you got? What movie?
Have we not talked about The Nightmare Before Christmas yet?
No, you know, that's a good Halloween
it's a
movie.
A great Halloween movie.
Jack Skellington. At the El Capitan in 4D, which was
the IRS
awesome.
Is breathing down my neck like it's some kind of personal vendetta against Bobby Finstock. It's Bobby Finstock. No.
Oh, wait
it's
a
Bobby
minute.
Bobby Finstock.
Oh, he's
no.
dressed up.
It's Bobby Finstock.
Oh, he's
no.
If I don't look at him, he's not here, right? Like a little kid.
Unbelievable. Talk about A Nightmare Before Christmas.
Yeah, wow.
All right, sit down.
Seth Rogen, ladies and gentlemen.
Hold on, let's put on your headphones, please. You don't want to embarrass yourself. All right.
So is Knocked Up 2 going to happen?
Hickory Dickory Dock.
I hate you.
I see like seven people dressed as Finstock.
Bobby Finstock is in the house. Finstock, how are you, my friend?
I'm good, man.
Happy Halloween.
Halloween's my favorite.
What is it about Halloween that really gets you?
Well, it's the women.
Okay.
Here's my theory.
What's your favorite kind of woman? Dressed as what?
Pagliacci the clown, obviously.
Right.
She's a sight for sore eyes. Did you know I hurt myself? Anyway, I was waiting for that knock on the door. I haven't got one yet. But anyway.
Some flowers would have been nice.
Here's my theory. Girls spend a lot of time getting in shape for the summer, right?
Right.
So basically what happens is October, they're like, let's go one more month really hard on the diet so we can look really good in our like one-piece Catwoman outfits for Halloween.
Uh-huh.
After that, it's all downhill.
Yeah. That's generally when I do my mating is November, December when they've given up on their year.
Yeah.
So October is like the last hurrah
and you
of
could,
that.
Like, you could do anything you want to girls like on Halloween. They're just ready to go.
Well, what are your plans tonight? I mean, you drop by the podcast,
this
I assume.
This is the worst night ever.
Well, I got a couple of different
and
things.
And you are why girls hate dressing up.
Tiffany,
yeah, but
I hate when girls dress up in slutty costumes because of what you're saying right now.
So
look at them.
What's your ratio on Halloween? How do you do on Halloween normally? Because you're kind of like Jason on Halloween.
I start off really early.
Okay.
I mean, like 9 o'clock in the morning, and I start fondling people. Like very,
fondling?
Very,
that's not
pretty
right.
Early.
No, you
pretty
don't early. Do that. Tiffany is terrified right now.
But again, I got to ask Finstock this question because I assumed he wasn't coming in tonight because there's this huge, massive party on Santa Monica Boulevard. It's just a parade of slutty nurses and slutty doctors and slutty clowns and maybe not clowns, but everybody else is slutty.
Yeah.
And why aren't you there right now?
Because I wanted to come here for a little bit. I had to spread the knowledge.
Tell us the real reason why you're here. Yeah, okay. That's what I thought. I
wanted to see Tiffany. I haven't seen her in a long time.
Right. That's a nice guy. That's a, you know what, to be honest, I know they're not dating officially. That's a good boyfriend. From where I sit, from the book depository view, that's a nice boyfriend.
You know what? If you guys really loved me, you would not keep trying to push me on to Finstock.
You already said that you were going to go out with him, too. Now that Yodi and Kathy Kelly are going to go out, then you know, that's the thing.
Is that going to happen?
That's going to happen.
I said with, like, cameras and interns and five people, chaperoned non-date.
What if I gave Finstock a flip cam?
No.
Okay. Finstock, we're talking horror movies here or Halloween movies.
He has his own.
Oh, wow. Okay.
What Halloween movie do you have that you really like? It could be something
like
that
Halloween
we...
Michael Myers or Halloween?
No, any Halloween movie.
I'll tell you what, I watched The Conjuring the other day. That shit was scary.
Yeah, Riley brought Holy that one up shit. Too. Yeah, it's creepy, right?
Do you watch horror movies with the mask on or do you take that off?
I just the wig now. This is Bob Ross. I'm Bob Ross, the painter.
That's good. Can you paint a tree right now?
If you don't know who Bob Ross is, go ahead. Leanne, if you're out there listening, which I know you are.
That's who I am.
Do me a favor and look at Bob Ross, if you don't know who that is already, and please take a screenshot of this animal as he is tonight.
He's the trees, right?
He can paint your face next year for Halloween.
Yeah.
He can put a nice little tear here.
I don't want him to get that close to my face.
I went to the 84 Orange Bowl with Bob Ross, actually.
That's not true at all.
I don't believe that's true. Who played in that Orange Bowl?
Flutie.
Flutie.
He's right.
What else do you so what do you got in the horror genre that really
Pet Cemetery is the scariest movie of all time.
Yeah, my aunt took me and my older sister to go see that when we convinced her that my parents would be cool with it, which they were totally not. And it was one of the scariest. But I want your view on this. I won't set you up for anything because I just want to know what is the scariest part about Pet Cemetery to Bob Finstock?
The meningitis Zelda.
Right?
She turns around, I was scared.
I can handle a zombie kitten, but Zelda, who's going to twist my spine simply because I was born with better genes than her.
You're 100% right.
I'm coming down to the basement to give you a sandwich, sis. And all she wants to do is twist my spine. It was actually a male that played the role of Zelda.
That's always creepy.
And
Shakespeare must have been terrifying.
The crazy part about it was I went to Florida and like got bit by like a zillion mosquitoes. And then I had to get a spinal tap because I thought I might have had meningitis. And I was like, they ain't going to turn me into Zelda, right? And nobody knew what I was talking about. Super scared.
The one time on record that Finstock showed fear.
Yeah, it's true.
I was really scared.
There's creepy women out there for sure. Creepy old ladies. And we actually did a video for movies.com on creepy old ladies. So one of the movies that we should talk about, I think, is obviously no one's talked about it, so I already brought it up. It's Poltergeist. Poltergeist is one of the creepiest movies ever. Tiffany, I've never seen it. No, you see it?
You want to watch it?
It might be dated now.
Let's watch it together.
You thumbs down?
No, I'm not watching anything with you.
Why not?
Why?
Well, let alone a horror movie, because then I might actually like accidentally grab your arm.
Would you do that instead? Would you watch a movie together?
No, because he's going to try and turn the lights off, and then I have to sit next to him on a couch.
At least at dinner,
I can sit. I can make him sit.
There's
like,
witnesses
way over there.
At the other tables in dinner. Yeah. When it's a movie, it's just you two.
I did that last night. I was. I took my shirt off. Same thing, basically what you said. It just got weird.
I don't even know what you're saying.
I found some girl in a bar, and she was just like, "Hey, you want to? You know, I need a place to relax and you know work off my drunkenness." And I was like, "Hey, we come to my house real quick." And she figured it out. Next thing I turned all the lights out of my shirt off. Didn't go that well after that.
All right, and that's another story. Yeah. All right, let's take a call from Schmoville. Get another horror movie that we can talk about. A lot of good ones, or a Halloween movie in general. Hey, you're in Schmoville. Who do we got?
Happy Halloween, all Schmovillians everywhere. This is Thomas Hughes, Winter Park, Florida, USA.
That is an authoritative phone call. I love
it. That's right.
What is up, my friend? What do you got for us?
Like a recording.
No, it wasn't.
Hey, since we're talking about Halloween, and we got on the topic of sequels a moment ago.
Yeah.
Mm. Excuse me. One of my favorite Halloween films due to the season is Halloween H2O. The 1998 one with
Jamie Lee Curtis is back.
And LL Cool J.
It was Josh Arnett's film debut as her son. And every year when Halloween comes out, I keep saying to myself, I gotta watch it. It's addictive. Keeps me coming back every year. Great film. It's suspenseful, gets my heart racing every time I think about it. Great song in the movie by Creed. And
the fact that Creed was able to do a film soundtrack is scary enough.
Yeah, yeah. How did you know that?
But yeah, actually, I remember seeing H2O when it came out, and I liked it. I thought it was cool bringing Jamie Lee Curtis back, and I, for what it's worth, I enjoyed the Rob Zombie remake too. It was a very different kind of thing. But
which is the one Katie was in? Was that Halloween Resurrection?
Yeah.
Oh, okay.
No, yeah. God, I hate that movie.
Well, that's
I love Katie Sackhoff, but God, that movie was the pure definition of a cash grab.
I'm sure she hates it too. But
go see White Noise too. She's great. That.
Yeah. All right, man. Thank you so much for the call.
She's in it.
Why is it
Happy Halloween?
You too,
Happy Halloween. Why is it that horror movies are the ones where it's like always they're gonna have a sequel?
Because it's easy. It's easy.
But what is it about like scary movies that's so easy and cheap to make when you're like it should look good? I don't get it.
Because the set pieces aren't that big. There's not a lot of need for CGI. There.
You don't have to pay your talent because you kill them.
Right. That's what.
They're dead halfway through the movie, so that's another person that's not showing up to eat roast beef.
A lot of rewrites.
That's why American Horror Story works so well for me. Because it's like one season happens and then they throw everything away and start.
Well, no, but American Horror Story still has to be quality though, because that's a TV show that needs to sustain itself. But like Texas Chainsaw Massacre 3D was a piss bomb, but it's getting a sequel because it's got that brand built in, and so open. Weekend, it's going to make its budget back, and then the rest is just house money.
But I feel like there's something when it's you have to stick to an original story in some way where it's like they're just not good.
Right. If you don't want to see a leprechaun go to the moon, then I can't help you as a film fan.
All right, so two more.
I don't want to see a leprechaun. Go to
13
moon.
Part 6 is really good too.
No, it's not terrible. Yeah, there's two movies.
It's really good, right? Awesome. So good.
The franchise really started turning around once it got into 6.
Is that
and
the one
7.
In space?
No.
Only movie that needs sequel is Fast and Furious.
The hell in 10.
Jason 10 is the worst one when he goes to in the alien spaceship.
Yeah.
Holy Jesus Christmas, that was bad.
All right, listen. So we're going to talk about there's two more movies that we're going to talk about real quick. Then we're going to play the game, the Hollywood edition. Okay, Scuba Steve 1122 tweets in
name.
Me too. The Ring, which is really
that scary.
That scene when she's crawling on television,
scary.
So incredibly scary. And and Candyman, the first Candyman, kind of creepy because there's also that legend of
he was the
Bloody
first
Mary
black guy
thing.
Too. What? First black horror guy.
I thought you said the first black guy ever. I said that doesn't make
maybe.
Sense.
He was the first black horror guy.
No, that was Terrence Trent D'Arby. Was the first black guy.
Don't dress up as him. Incorrect. Don't dress up as him and paint your face.
Yeah. So those are two movies that again they have moments in them that could really scare you. And again, you have The Ring. You remember that TV just crawling out of the
crawls
TV.
Crawls out of
the
well or the TV.
You have the Candyman.
Why'd you say it 3 times?
Sorry. Katie H.K. Cosette tweets in, please talk about The Nightmare Before Christmas.
Yes.
It really sucks that you guys changed subject and cut the guest off. Well, we didn't know Finstock was going to fly through the rafters.
Finstock
now,
with a critic.
That movie, Nightmare Before Christmas.
It's the 20th anniversary this year.
Crazy. That's really crazy. And the fact that movie is a great Halloween movie. It's one of those movies that there's so many Christmas movies out. That's a pure definition, I think, of a Halloween movie.
Yeah, and it's also the pure definition of a Tim Burton film. It's everything that guy does well in his absolute prime. The guy, you see that and you realize that he had the brain that it could also make like something as diverse as Pee-wee's Big Adventure and Beetlejuice and Edward Scissorhands. And I really think it just all of his talents came to fruition with Nightmare Before Christmas. Mm-hmm.
All right, so we asked on Facebook.com/SchmoesKno what segments you guys would like to bring back to the SchmoesKno podcast, and resounding from you guys was
I think he just moved close
the game, and it is the Hollywood edition. Excuse me, the Hollywood. The
Halloween it's always
edition,
the Hollywood edition.
The Halloween edition. Oh, yeah. So here we go.
Time to play the game.
Boom. Here's how it works.
Now,
if you don't know and you've never listened to the show before, here's how the game works. There's going to be a bunch of clips that our intern JTI has selected. They're all in the horror genre. And so there is the first person to three. The way it works is you will buzz with your name. If you know the clip, you buzz out and you will win. Exactly.
I'm not playing unless I know the first
one. I was going to give your spot the cops. Or do you want to play?
No, that's fine, but if I know it I might still get excited and yell it out.
Well, you're not going to be able to listen to it cuz you're not going to have your headphones on. Do you want to play? If you want to play.
I have to give away my headphones.
You have to give him one ear.
All
right, you guys
give him one ear. I want the kid at a disadvantage.
So cops,
I'm worried about cops.
Cops is very upset that he needs to share headphones with you. I'm sure. So Finstock's going to sit this one out.
Yeah.
So we have in the game right now are Copster and Tiffany together. They count as one team.
Only by
Riley, Yodi, Mark and myself. All right, here we go. Clip number one.
Lost.
I can't hear anything.
Shit, David. What is that?
Christian. American Werewolf in London.
Very good. Well done. Yeah. Can we get the streaming working a little bit?
Can I call a timeout? I'm not hearing anything from the.
That's the way the game works.
That's it.
Is you can't hear anything.
All right. Next clip.
Yeah, can you hear anything?
No.
Oh, Christian. Rosemary's Baby.
I can't. It keeps coming in. Are you hearing it clean, Christian?
No. Yeah, it's coming in and out.
Something's messing with the game, and it's a demon.
I'm hearing the same shit you guys are. I'm not bitching.
There's been much trouble here. Did you know that a young boy
drowned? Riley. Oh, that was a tie.
You think Riley got it? All right.
Friday the 13th.
Which part?
Part one.
Disregard buzzer.
All right, here we go. Clip number three.
What in God's name are you talking about?
Yes, Christian, Exorcist. I'm just guessing everything here.
Richard Thorne, the son of the devil.
Copser. Yeoman?
Nice. Wow. Should have been mine.
Copser and Tiffany on the board. Tiffany, will you give Copser a kiss on the cheek if he wins?
Maybe.
All right. In terms of North Park. Christian, Gremlins.
You know what they got out? I like that you know that your guesses are so bad that you just start laughing.
Isn't that precious? The idea has become the institution, boys. Time to move along.
You don't want us to do Light My Fire time for the whole city.
No, I want you to set a fire so goddamn big the gods will notice us again. That's what I'm saying.
Mark.
Shit. It's a horror movie?
It's not a horror movie.
Blade?
Copster. The Lost Boys?
I'll guess it when they all guess it wrong.
Hold on. It's...
You boys will be able to look me straight in the eye one more time and say, are we having fun or what?
It's The Crow. Escape. Oh, The Crow?
It takes place on Halloween.
That does take place on Halloween. It's a Halloween movie. All right.
Oh, there you go. Okay. All right.
Okay.
No. Hold on to your Copster.
Poltergeist.
Nice. Copster, one away. One away from the win.
Cheap kiss.
What did you do?
I went downstairs.
Riley. Silence of the Lambs.
Uh-oh. So Riley's got two?
2-2 to 1-0. Ellis getting shut out.
Shut out. Your own genre. Disgusting.
My headphones.
Do you know how I knew your name was Doc?
Copser. The Shining.
Ah, you got it. Well done,
Tiffany. Tiffany wins her first one.
I didn't. I wasn't even listening.
You're on the
Nicely
team.
Done.
Does he get a kiss on the cheek?
Yeah.
Very nice. Very nice.
That's nice.
Now, Finstock. Now you guys both have gotten kissed on the cheek, so you're not an individual anymore. No, you did not.
All
right, go sit in your chair again.
No,
oh, sorry, I slapped him on his Achilles.
And look, and the game is really tough, and it was the kid's first time playing the game.
Nice.
And so, Copster, in all honesty, I want to congratulate you on defeating me at the game. Best of luck in the future. I don't know what your plans have, but the door is that way, and you can just see yourself out. And there's a subway down the street, I think.
That is very impressive to come in here in your first one and beat.
He didn't even get intimidated by you guys.
No, I didn't get any right. I mean, again, I'm gonna blame some foul play. Some things were involved. There's some shenanigans, but hey, good game, everybody.
Copster, go interview yourself outside about how you felt about the game. Seriously. So we have 9 minutes now because Copster did a Tyson here.
Where's Joshua McCougar?
Copster did a Tyson.
Is Josh McCougar, did he get arrested?
Why do you always call him McCougar?
He's McCougar.
McCougar.
Yeah, but McCougar, it's like a cross between MacGruber and MacGyver.
All right, that works. No, he didn't get arrested. He's at a party tonight.
Not yet.
I'm sure there'll be some vines.
McCougar's got some great, he's got a great costume. Him and his buddy Paulie are actually going as Hipster Mario and Hipster Luigi.
That's pretty great.
Wow. It's pretty funny, yeah.
All right, before, again, we have about
I got a good round table.
What do you got?
I want to go around the room and everybody say, what was the scariest, I guess Tiffany and Ken can't play, but what was the scariest thing that you ever dressed up as for Halloween to go trick-or-treating? Because sometimes you're something fun.
Why does
it
have to be something scary? Why can't it just be your best Halloween costume?
Okay, then we'll do best Halloween costume.
Okay.
But everybody who was allowed to dress up scary, also say you're scary.
I think mine. There's two that I had that was pretty good, and we'll think Finstock. We can talk about the story too. My
brilliant.
I think my best was the kissing booth contest.
Oh, it's the time you almost ripped my arm off.
It was a good one though, because my friend helped me build it, and she built a great one. But I was so hammered that night.
I don't understand the premise.
Let me tell you. He was the angriest person on the face of the planet
that night, yeah,
for like a week before that. And I was like, this guy's he's in for it. And then it got really crazy. And he was like wearing a kissing booth, and like it might have even been a punching
booth. What does a kissing booth look like?
Well, it was cool. I actually have a picture.
Box?
No, yeah, it was like a box. My friend built
with
it for
a
me.
Curtain?
And she, and so yeah, it was like a whole, it was almost like, yeah, but it was great. It was like, it was a built up costume with like the 5-cent thing on it. And I carried it around. And it was great. It literally was like almost like that thing that Daniel LaRusso built for himself as the shower curtain.
Yes.
But it was a box. And it looked, it would cut through, and it looked like you could just sit me out of like a fair. It was awesome.
And
was
so really then cool. Girls would come up and be like, I want to put a nickel in you and make out.
More
Ew.
Or less. But that's probably why I beat the hell out of it, because that didn't happen all night. But Hunter S. Thompson was another great one that I did.
No kissing. No girls kissed you in the kissing group.
No.
It's no one's gonna kiss you in that costume.
Oh, you think it's too obvious going for smooches?
It's like on. I mean,
he got a lot of it. He was just so.
But I like kissing booth contest. The guy, I like that. Okay, Tiffany, what was the best costume that you had? It's non-scary.
The first one I remember was that I dressed up as Dorothy when I was little.
Very good.
And I That's carried hot. Around a yellow brick road.
Yeah.
And I would like put it on the ground and stand on it.
That's
and
cool.
Pick it up and put it on the ground and stand on it.
A lot of work going into these costumes. The coolest thing that I was, the scariest thing I was Reagan from The Exorcist. I was at the actual Reagan, like, you know, I had the nightgown, I had that froed out hair, the split pea soup puke. On
That's
me.
Good.
I was also Teen Wolf 1 year. My brother had the coolest one ever. You guys remember the little known McDonald's mascot for like a year, Mac the Moon Man?
Yes.
Oh, yeah.
My brother went as Mac the Moon. My mom made him like a cardboard.
Oh, that is awesome.
They discontinued him because kids were like doing bad things with that one.
That's not true.
Yeah, sure.
Is that true?
Yeah.
A wedding singer. When it was Robbie Hart also. That was
You probably got a lot of action.
I had a girlfriend at the time. Yeah. It was a good one.
What
do you got, Finstock?
So hopefully you got a lot of action.
I was Billy Bob Thornton in Sling Blade the 1 year. That was odd. I shaved clean. I looked like an idiot.
Yeah. Did you carry around
I was Hitler when I was like 7. That was not a good choice. My dad put me up to it. And then I was half Hall, and then the other half was Oates the one time.
That's so
I
had great. Like Two-Face?
So I had a half mustache.
That's great. That's a great one.
See, I thought about doing that tonight.
I don't believe that you actually dressed up as any of these things. Yeah, I feel like you're just making stuff up right now.
Why do you say that?
Because you lie.
Don't you see the conviction in my face?
I'm tweeting out a picture that at Brent Parker 1995 just sent. He sent out a picture of himself talking about Two-Face. Half as Heisenberg, half as Walter White.
Wow.
That's one of the best. Johnny, this guy puts you to shame.
That is awesome.
Well, Johnny, we're going for different things. I mean, that's
Johnny
really
does
cool,
look great, though, tonight.
He
look
looks amazing.
Yeah.
Wait, a friend of mine dressed up this year as Gravity.
Johnny looks great, though.
So she wore like a space, space galactic printed unitard and put a Barbie astronaut on herself.
Oh, that's great.
And had George Clooney's face like randomly far off. I was like, that was the coolest idea for a costume ever.
That's funny, yeah.
Right?
I like that. I'm starting to like these half and half ones too. I thought about maybe trying to be half David Lee Roth and half Sammy Hagar for the two Van Halen eras. So maybe I'll try that next year.
Of course you did.
But maybe another half and half would be fun next year. I hate dressing up in costume, but I like these half and half
things.
This
is great. There's a lot of good ones too. By the way, Schmoville, if you guys have, there's a lot of you guys are tweeting us pictures of your Halloween costumes and of other great costumes. Do that. Tweet us at or post them on our wall on Facebook. We want to see all the cool costumes. And if any of you happen to see anyone dressed as Tonto this year, let me know.
Because Chris and I have a bet. Is that I saw a Tonto costume from like the Lone Ranger movie. I saw it in a Halloween store, and I was like, "There's no kids buying that because the movie sucked."
It's gotta be on
no
clearance.
Kid wants to be Tonto for Halloween. And Christian's like, "Oh, there's going to be a lot of Tontos."
Someone was
no
just
way.
Telling me that their kid was obsessed with that movie and kept asking them when the next one was coming out. I cannot remember who was telling me that, and I was like,
"Oh my
god, what do you tell him?"
That kid needs to go to the Hallelujah Hoedown, if you ask me.
You should have been Jody. You should have been.
Yeah, I got an update on the costume of Tonto because I was last minute yesterday.
Yeah.
And they were actually advertising B. Tonto from the movie in a section,
uh-huh.
okay? It was
full.
Yeah. Doesn't mean anything.
Full.
Doesn't mean anything.
It's everything just, else was sold out.
That's just one place that was doing shit.
It's the wrong year to be Tonto, no, okay? And that. By the way, to get credit to be Tonto, you actually have to walk around with a crow in your head the whole time. You can't be carrying the crow in your hand. That's cheating.
Tweeting out, there's someone just tweeted out just now that they witnessed a couple dressed as Tonto and a Lone Ranger. It's just tons of them.
Yeah, but these could be spies that you paid off.
If the girl's dressed as Tonto, it's not a bad thing. That means she's wearing scantily clad clothes. Okay, I get it. But if a guy's dressing like it, he's an idiot.
The movie stonks. All right, guys, we only have about 3 minutes left. That was our Halloween podcast. It was a lot of fun. I'd like to thank our guest Jenna Sims, who came in tonight.
Yeah.
We had the great Bob Finstock showed in. Tiffany Smith. Tiffany, make sure you can follow Tiffany now at Tiffany's Tweets. Yep. And you find her at DC All Access. Find her on Fandango. She's got a lot of stuff going on. Tiffany, what anything else you want to tell the good people of Schmoville about?
Definitely check out DC All Access every Tuesday. We're having a lot of fun on that. You guys have been awesome supporting that. I've been commenting back on all those videos too. And then Fandango, I've been doing the House of Scream stuff, so I got to hang out with Slash a little bit.
That's awesome.
Yeah.
That's how we got Clifton Collins Jr.
Yeah, it's true. We did.
Maybe we get Slash in here one day.
Make sure that you follow our interns. You got at JTI. You changed your handle. What the hell is it now? At Josh, a.k.a.
You don't
JTI.
Understand this fame, how this fame thing happens, Christian. Yeah. People get famous and they get stalkers. That's what's happened in our poor boy, JTI.
That's true. You got at Copster's Reviews. Copster, another one. I forget. Copster 15? Copster 15. All right. At Copster
15. Stop with the numbers, guys.
Ken Knapsack. At Riley Around. Check out the whole crew. And again, check out Schmo Plus. A lot of good videos on there. And Ripped Apparel. Go to iTunes. Big thing, guys. Make sure that you're commenting there and rating. It helps the show out tremendously. So what else you got here? We got
you forgot two huge plugs, okay? What? First of all, you forgot the biggest, most obvious one is what? That next Saturday you can catch Mark Ellis at the Celebrity Theater in Reno.
Got it.
That's huge. And then you also have this little show on E! That's debuting in November that you may or may not see me or Christian's ugly mug on, called The Drama Queen on E!
Yeah, you may.
The promos look awesome, P.S.
It's a lot of crazy. Really my good. Wife was like, I'll watch that. And the thing is, here's the thing, guys. Go on E! You'll see it, especially if you watch Chelsea lately. They run the ads a lot. Mm-hmm. And it's about Marky Costello. That's our manager. She was in here when we taped the episode 2. They're going to do a full episode. And Mark and I are in a lot of episode 3, I believe. But check it out. It's on E, I believe, November 17th is when it debuts.
We had some good times on that show. We had some bad times on that show. It's all on tape. It is drama.
But it won't be drama next week, or it might, depending on who we have on the show. Schmoes, who do we got next week?
Christian Fighter, right?
Christian Petrie returns.
Oh, playing the celebrity dating impression game next week, guys. So be tuned in for that one.
Yeah,
Schmoes, no
here.
Movies. Yes, you will. It is the Halloween. Have a good time. Get nice and drunk, but don't drive drunk.
Be safe,
mother.
Yeah, be safe, guys. Poof. Happy Halloween.
You're listening to the Toad Hop Network, radio worth watching.